welcome to In-Game Chat for Tuesday, June 9th, 2009. I need my cheat sheet for that one. Right? We're the official podcast, colonyofgamers.com. Check us out there at our forums, or look us up at ingamechat.net. You can also hit us up on Twitter at InGameChat, or email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Love the emails, love the Twitters, and everything else. Boy, oh boy, you guys told us never to apologize for how long our episodes are.
So we're not.
So this is what you get.
This is exactly what you get.
This is a combination both of, like, you know, the meatiest gaming news you could possibly hope to be dealing with if you're a podcast. Thank you, E3. Also, the fact that we had to take a week off for that, and a bunch of shit happened to happen in there, like really good games to play.
Yeah. For one thing, I just noticed this, the first time ever that it possibly could have been everybody in the room finishing Infamous.
Yeah.
Except me.
Because mm-hmm. you were busy doing
Never other things. Has that happened before. We've always wished that one of us had finished the game or had gotten to it. But Jesus Christ.
But 4 out of 5 of us finished Infamous. We start off, you know, talking about Infamous for a while.
We'll give you some bookends. We spend half an hour at the beginning. We give you a nice big spoiler break at the end, tell you exactly what's going to happen. We force Scott to leave the room. There's plenty of Infamous talk at the other end if you've beaten it, or if you plan on doing some other stuff and, like, never get around to
it. Feel free to skip it. That's all that's at the end. Just Infamous, so.
Yeah, it's a bunch of Infamous stuff.
If you haven't beaten it, please do.
Very spoilery. Anyway, in the middle there, in the chunk in the middle, we talk all E3. Really. Just a
big surprise.
Bunch of E3.
What kind of reveals we like, what kind of trailers we like.
It's amazing. You'll be totally shocked. Stuff happens. We handle some of the Twitter, some of the tweets. We handle some of the mailbag. We get your stuff answered, strangely, a lot of times before you even ask it. So, and it just occurs to me that one of the questions that we didn't answer from a previous episode, I swore we'd answer in this one.
No, we didn't.
And we still didn't.
Oh, well.
Guess what we'll do next
episode.
It was
something I was going to hand off to RJ anyway, because clearly he was the dude with, you know, the 411 on whatever it was. You just have to trust me.
By the way, if you hear this, you should email everyone at In-Game Chat right now and tell them you want an Uncharted 2 beta code. I will give it to you when we get that email from the first person I get the email from. So there you go.
All right, so get ready
for
the show.
This should be up in enough time to still play this damn
thing. Yes. Want to give names?
It's
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Great. You don't know who the hell we are, do you?
Do it.
I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hey, I'm Jeremy.
I'm RJ.
I'm Matt.
Excellent. Enjoy it.
And together,
we are
Wonder Twin Powers.
With our powers combined,
we form a 4-hour podcast.
Enjoy the show.
Did you round for the shards? Just try and go for that and just get the power.
Go for what? Whatever.
Yeah, hang
on. I think I went to that game, only got 2 extra cores. I didn't have the time to go searching for
really?
Shards.
Wow.
See, I made a huge fucking effort.
So I had to make my shots count.
Yeah, once I figured shit out, I made a huge effort to be like, I want, you know, like another half dozen cores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I could kind of see the way things were going.
Well, I damn near cleared the first island out of shards.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't make nearly as big an effort on the second and third islands.
Neither did I.
But, yeah.
I see that gets kind of tedious.
I ran around the first island really good, you know, jamming on the left thumbstick. Wah, 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 wah. And at one point, Becky came and she's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Hey, I'm just glad that they had that radar.
That was good. It was a good compromise between laying it out on the big map, which, you know, I kind of understand. But and you say you haven't played it at all.
I haven't played it at all. All
right, so, like, clearly we're
in the demo, but the demo doesn't talk to you about
shit. Here's, like, the first most important fucking thing. We're 2 weeks behind, so we're talking about Infamous. So, whatever. Scott hasn't played it. Everybody else has.
Shame on you.
When the fuck can I play it?
But, like, you know.
Instead of sleeping one night, I don't know.
I couldn't take my PS3 with me.
You've been back since Friday.
Yeah, since Friday.
Oh, and boy.
I don't know. When am I going to play it?
Yeah, I don't know.
When was I going to write up all the fucking shit?
I don't know. Wah.
Then I'd have to go out and buy it.
What did your water break?
Yeah. No, my water didn't break. Kevin's did, but mine didn't. I'm never gonna have that. You will never see that text from me.
Yeah, right. You know what you just did? You just doomed yourself.
Fuck.
No, but, like, you can like ping the map for, like, the location of the ship that drove you so crazy and Crackdown.
Yeah, all the
little collectible doofliches.
Yeah. I kind of wish Crackdown had that.
Yeah, that was sort of my point.
Crackdown's got that awesome tone.
Man.
Had Tony in radar?
But no, like, I went out of my way to get some of those just because I was like, this shit's going to, like, eat my power. Like, I need some of those. Like, I need those cores. Mm-hmm. I really, really need those cores. And it does make a difference.
He doesn't play that way.
You try to play active anyway, and particularly if you go the route of like grinding on wires and rails refills your energy, like you got shit all the time, you know. Yeah. And I got, you know, I was really happy with it. Like I liked the fact that there was shit everywhere for you to tap. Yeah. I like that you didn't really have a deep pool of energy that you had to be, like, expending it and tapping it all the time. It made it, like, really, really active kind of gameplay. So, but, I fucking loved that game.
Yep.
I mean, I had only put in a little bit of time.
Like, the way the electricity before. Powers were done?
Yeah.
Like, ever since I was, like, 8 years old, I don't know, I imagined, you know, sucking electricity out of sockets and throwing them at shit or... Like, when I was riding in the car, I'd, like, have my hand up like a little guy with two fingers, one down. He'd be riding the, you know, the wires up there. I mean, everything in that game was, like, something that I imagined as an electric superpower from my childhood.
It was good.
Awesome.
I mean, and I know it takes a while for you to build him up, but I, and don't get me wrong, like, there's some shit to complain about in the game. Mm-hmm.
Little things.
Mostly.
Just little things.
But... I really liked the powers. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, there didn't seem to be enough of a lot of things in the game for a lot of people. And unfortunately, I mean, in a lot of ways, it felt like Wolverine. It was like there were problems, but like the thing you're going to be doing 98% of the time is fucking badass. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really understand the need, have not in the past couple of weeks understood the need to marginalize how badass that is and focus on texture pop-in. or whatever, and it's like, really, I don't understand that. I don't get that stance exactly. I mean, that's totally cool. There seem to be like plenty of people liking it, and that's really great. But I haven't felt that compelled to just play through a game in a long time.
Yeah,
it was open but not too open. It was guided in all the really great ways that like Assassin's Creed was, because the mission structure was all kinds of Assassin's Creed, but it didn't. Really feel so pointless and useless.
Yeah.
And once I got sort of the hang of things, which took me a while, there was a whole bunch of shit, and I was talking to Matt about this, that I didn't realize until my second playthrough, because I was too stupid to figure it out the first time. Like, I would avoid all the satellite relay missions. I didn't hate them. I was just like, I don't really want to do this. It feels just like some stupid thing that's pointless.
You're not getting XP. And then you're not.
Yeah, I was like, and then a couple times it was really shitty hard, and I swear that on hard, you had less time.
Yes. Ah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know. And like sometimes they seem to be real close to blackout areas, and I was like, man, I don't want to like wind up in a blackout area where I can't like grind on a power line or a rail or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know, whatever. And I just instinctively ignored them until I had to do them later. On my second playthrough, I realized that doing them first unlocks the location of all the side missions you can't see.
Oh. I had no idea.
Because, I paid attention to the chick the second time, and she's like, hey, I see a bunch of people down on street level who, like, you know, really need your help and you know, are willing to, like, work with us on stuff and whatever that you would randomly see with the little icon.
Yeah.
And she's like, but I can't find their location. You need to, like, fix the satellite uplink so they'll be uploaded to the GPS on the map. The first time through, I'm like, yeah, whatever, bitch. I'm electrocuting people. Like, I didn't hear you. I was sticking lightning bolts up that guy's nose. Like, what did you say? And the second, on my second playthrough, I was like, oh. Well,
I did enjoy the satellite uplink stuff.
I thought they were fine. I didn't hate them.
Especially the ones
where
it was like really, really close.
Yeah.
To get to the next one. I love, you know, just cutting it close and getting it just in there.
I'd be close to that last one and then like fall, you know, like try and jump onto the wire but miss just so much and just see yourself fall. You're like, crap. Yeah.
But little things like that, I was like, this makes
through,
it a much better game.
I only played through going good side, but. The way the story unfolded and was told and the way the characters reacted to situations, it was all kind of unlike most other video games.
It was.
Because Most other video games, as you progress through, you're either constantly going forward, achieving things, or it seems like if you're dealt setbacks, they happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get pushed down and down and down and down until you beat the game, and then you win. But, like, it was a good mix of, like, progressing and then setbacks that felt very real. And the way the characters, particularly, like... I can't remember their names for some reason off the top of my head, but
which
the
one?
Girl and the
Zeke
and
yeah. Trish.
Trish, yeah.
Trish was a bitch.
Yeah, she was.
I didn't like that bitch at all. I was like,
but
I'm gonna fucking kill you. I'm gonna go through on red and I'm gonna kill your ass.
But
I didn't
way
get
they,
you, by the
way
they
dealt with things and the way they reacted just felt very human.
Yeah.
Not nearly as scripted as it usually does.
No, I mean, I still take... All right, particularly on the evil playthrough, I really do take odds with the way he acted. Like, I really wish he had gone all out prick. But, like, on the evil playthrough, like...
He's still kind of, you know...
Bitch, I got black lines running down my face.
Yeah.
My electricity is red. I am not a nice guy.
But he's like,
so
hey,
when Trish gives
talking?
Me shit, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, and it really pissed me off that he gave a fuck. He turned blue every now and then. And it's like, cool. Clearly we're being a dick this time through. Like, let's you and I act a little bit more like what we should be acting, my friend. And that... That was in this game your punishment for going evil. Was the disconnect with how he is. And there were a few times when he got a little bit of story where he totally pricked out.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't as natural as going through good side, you know. And the way the kind of dude that Cole is at the beginning is like, clearly this guy's going to be, you know, more the hero than the villain, which is it's cool, you know. I was okay with that, but I did like it. I did like the progression. I was a little confused. Again, second time through, the first third of the story clicked better. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Because now I can tell the difference between Trish and all the disembodied voices. You know? Because
yeah.
like Zeke is like just ham-fistedly comedic enough
right.
to be like, okay, it's clearly, you know, Zeke stuff over there. And like the bitch on the other end of the phone is Trish. And,
You mean Moya?
No, Trish.
Okay.
Moya's just a stuffy suit. Trish
okay.
is a bitch.
Okay. Just making sure we're, like...
I mean, her sister's dead and everything, but it's like, the person I identified is like, I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing I hate about Cole, is that Cole likes you. So, whatever. Moya, the whole Moya thing was kind of weird, but, like, honestly, in the early stages of me getting my legs under me in the game, the whole... Trish, Moya,
Sophie?
No.
No, not Sophie.
Try again.
Sasha?
Sasha.
Sasha, yeah.
Thing. It was like, wait a minute, who's who? And it wasn't when they were talking to you. It was mainly through the dead drops, which is how you picked up the story.
Yeah.
Which I kind of liked.
Yeah.
I liked the way all that stuff was integrated in the map, by the way. Like, you know, I was like, this is stupid, shitty, tiny little mini-map. But it was very functional.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the different methods of searching out all your stuff.
Things. Yeah.
So, I mean, I got all that stuff and I did it, and it was really great. Dude, I liked it a lot. I really, really liked it a lot. And if anybody's listening who thought the ending was predictable and pat, I'm sorry, maybe you really are that cool, because I thought it was a great ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not
see it coming. Granted, I've talked about how
not,
I never see anything coming, but I thought the ending was,
you know, most of the time,
really good.
I managed to figure stuff out. And
yeah.
I don't, like, put a lot of thought into it, but I just can't help it most times. A lot of times I just see it coming. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Becky figured it out, like, as the final fight began. I didn't see it until I was watching the ending.
Well, so, there's no way to talk about it.
No,
I tell you what, look, clearly, at some point toward the end of the show's cut, you have to leave the room.
Apparently.
And we will yell, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. For like a minute, and then we'll talk about the ending of the game, because I really want to, because
Matt
left
you.
Me a message,
yeah,
and it was
like, oh my god,
what the fuck, holy crap, bleep bleep is bleep in the bleep, and I'm like, I know, it's
yeah.
crazy,
you know,
and it was like that really great, like, am I figuring out what I think I'm figuring? Oh, yes, I am.
And like you said,
really
it is
cool.
Making going through the second time so much better. Where you're like, oh, yeah.
And then when you pick up a little the nuance of the conversations and stuff, you're like,
yeah.
I I had no idea the first time through. I thought dude was just being, like, magnanimous or, like, you know, brutally honest about himself. I was like, I had no clue. That's really great. I really liked it. I just, dude, I felt so compelled to play through it. Mm-hmm. I loved the powers. Yes, the sticky could be a little bit weird from time to time, but yeah. I found that if you just kind of surrendered to what it wanted to do, it was just like, it was snappy, and it was quick, and it was sharp, and it was good. You had to go, you had to get somewhere between deliberate, absolute control and total surrender, a la Assassin's Creed. It was more active than that, less mm-hmm. active than a pure platformer. I thought it was a good blend, and it made sacrifices, but they were good sacrifices. I felt really great about it. I liked the enemies. They were sort of quirky and disconcerting. Fuck a bunch of dustmen, by the way. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who are those?
The second island.
They're the ones that you'll go, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
Are they the guys that can teleport?
No. Trust me. Right. When you get to a point and you're like, dude, fuck these guys, you'll know you're fighting dustmen.
Why are they taking so much damage?
Because, dude, you get off of that first island and you're like, I am a rock-hard, badass motherfucker. Mm-hmm. I can shoot lightning bolts out of everything I got.
Uh-huh.
And I can fuck up anything. Owned.
And these motherfuckers wearing trash bags. Like,
owning
like
your face.
I'm like ruining my day.
Yeah.
They're coming in metal and trash.
The gold.
Electricity, which would make... Which
they say, and it was really cool because, like, they always reminded me of stormtroopers because of the sound they made when they were stomping around.
The golem really pissed me off whenever they started introducing them.
I loved the golem fights.
Once I figured out how to deal with it.
See, and here's the other thing. The game was like... It really did... Not in a bad way. It was like you get up against something like the golem. I was like, I can't do it. I'm not figuring it out. And then I sort of figure out, like, well, you're not using this.
You're not doing
in conjunction
this.
With this. And I was like, oh, now it's a really fun fight.
Yeah.
Boss fight was the same way. I did the boss fight. I started that fight like 8 times, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? And I'm like, oh,
that's why.
Dodge. I need to kind of use that because I've been so badass that I didn't really need it. Once I did that, I was like, man, this is like a tight, concise. It's a good boss fight for guys like me who aren't good at hard games.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, this is clean.
I didn't do any dodging in the boss
Really?
No, not a bit.
That's all I did.
Would you use your polarity wall?
I used.
I didn't think polarity wall would save you from, like, the thing. The thing that ruined me was when he was like, zoom, 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 zoom. Ruffle stomp you. That's what would happen. He would pop up into your grill and ruffle stomp you.
Move.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's but like just a straight move wouldn't normally do it because it's like a cone attack.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, oh, okay, I haven't been using my active dodge.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like using the dodge worked great. I couldn't make that fight work without it. Is what I'm saying. Because he was so fucking fast.
Yeah.
That, like, 80% of what I did in that fight was dodge.
Huh.
Dodge, wait for the minute, zap, zap, zap.
Yeah.
And, like, you know.
I have to say...
It was good. It was always all timing-based for me.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like, having a real problem, like, with the damage he was dealing me.
Dude, he was, like... Again, I played it on hard.
Yeah.
So... If he got up in your shit with like his raffle stomp attack, like
what's his raffle stomp
attack, the thing where he's like, you know, just like he like shoryukens you,
he zips forward, throws a bomb,
he's like
dust cloud, and all of a sudden you're flying back across.
Yeah, and it's like that quick.
Yeah,
if you're not like, it was just like boom, that fast, and like
you just have to predict it coming.
Yeah, the instant starts zooming the first time
hard. If he hit you, you're one hit away from dead.
Yeah. Huh. The instant he starts zooming the first time, that's when you have to, like, all right, I got to start.
And again, that was on hard, so I don't know how it... I mean, on easy, he didn't even touch me, but I had already done the fight, so... See, because I did good hard, bad easy.
I'm guessing I played on easy, because I never changed difficulties or anything.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't get a trophy for beating it on hard.
Oh, okay.
So I'm guessing I played on easy.
It was the first thing that really... It was so bad because, like, there was no... The way he was throwing attacks out and everything, I was just like, I'm dying quick. And then I just had to be like, oh, okay, all right, I got it.
Yeah, like, first time through, I mean, you don't see everything that he can do. I mean, he doesn't do the majority of his attacks until, like, you get him down, like, half anyway.
Right.
And then he starts throwing all types of crazy stuff at you.
Yeah, but it was, that was fine.
Like, the second time he hits the ground, has that expanding ring. The second you start expecting one thing, and all of a sudden, oh, well.
What do I do? Yeah. So I was just kind of like, I'm just gonna hover for a second. Okay, it's gone. Good.
I don't think I ever did that at all.
Yeah, that's how I got past that one. He would like shoot that shit out, and I'm like, I'm just gonna hover. I'm just gonna sit here. And, okay, that shit's past me now, and now I'm okay.
I just time jumps.
No, see, I just didn't bother with that again because it was like, if I fuck that up, then he's gonna like hurt me, and then I gotta do it again. And he would react different if he got a successful attack on you. Mm. He would change his pattern if his attack was successful. He wouldn't. Hard boss fight. It was just fun.
Long.
Yeah, it was very long.
It was a long boss fight.
And the only reason I did it on easy the second time through is because you get more XP on easy. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to afford
more powers.
Some of the powers that I didn't get the first time. So, That's the only reason I did that. But that stuff was fun. I never did quite understand because I had to get the pre-order code. The electric Wolverine.
Yeah. I got that.
The claws. It was just like, you know, it's a, for the most part, it's like a one-shot kill on whatever. But they dissipate after that one kill.
That one hit, yeah.
Which I thought was a great balance. But sure. It was like, and it was really cool because it's like, because he does the whole like Wolverine thing, you know, and then they're like electric claws, and he like stabifies some dude and get a little slow motion thing. It was great. It was
really I considered whether or not to say this because it really is how I feel. Because it's such like a big thing to say, and I don't want to like set anybody's expectations too high going into it. But this is just true for me. So I'm going to say it and fuck anybody else.
Yeah, right.
If you disagree or if you
that's
go
totally
into
cool.
It, yeah, it's your problem if you go in with too high an expectation. But this really is the most fun I've had on any game this generation.
It was just fun.
Yeah.
And yes, it has problems.
Yeah.
And like.
I wouldn't say it's like the greatest game, the best game, but it was definitely the most fun. And I think I heard somebody say something similar to that.
Yeah.
It's the most fun I've had this generation.
Yeah, I loved it. I played through both times. I usually don't do that. It was open enough for an open world game, but closed off in good ways. Like, I liked him as a superhero, and they didn't paint him so broadly as a superhero. And again, the second time through, I'm thinking of him more as a hero. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, well, and it was cheesy, but they throw in, like, well, this is why he can't use a gun, you know? It's like, hey, because he holds a gun, and, like,
and
I was like, that's cool. And he also says, like, this is basically why I can't sit in the car either. And
makes sense.
Okay, that's, you wrote that in there. So he's got that weakness as well. And I started thinking, and I was like, you know, because a huge mechanic of the game is the power gets cut off all over the city, so you have to go step by step and reinitialize power. Like, you have to go into the sewers, which, by the way, the first time I went into the sewers, I was like, oh, my God, that looks awesome.
I just
they're all dark, and he's got, like, the electricity on his arms, and
going through
flashing all over the place.
Going through his evil with the red glow is so much cooler.
No, it's just, it was great.
I liked it.
And then, like, he reinitializes the circuit at the substation, and, like, that's when he's, like, he gets, like, this giant burst of electricity through him, and he, like,
new power.
Gets a new power. He's like, you know, and he's always like, oh, hell yeah. He's like, because you see a little thing of the power. Mm. And, like, in your head, you're like, oh, hell yeah. And then you go through, and then that portion of the city is unlocked. I mean, you could go there anyway.
You could go there anyway, but
he hates it.
Because there's no power.
The only thing you can drain power from is cars.
You have nothing to recharge yourself with, and you can't, like, ride the lines if you've got the ride the line thing, and there's a shit ton of enemies. So it's just unpleasant. And there's nothing to do. There's no mission.
And
so
he specifically talks about how, like, it makes him feel sick. He's like, he has to have the electric field around him. So, like, Cole is never the kind of superhero that's going to go, like, whoop somebody's ass out in the middle of a cornfield somewhere. Like, he is bound
to a city,
to an urban environment. So he really does have all these weaknesses as an overpowered motherfucker. Just, they're really cool. I like him, and despite all the flaws, I was like, yeah, this sort of sucks. The pop-in kind of sucks, and the frame rate's dipping in a few places, but, you know.
I was having too much fun to notice.
Yeah. And
sometimes the targeting for me was just a little fine-tuned with your reticle of lightning, and I'm like, all right, I'm on the dude, but I'm not hitting him, so I have to, like, you know, fine-tune it just a little.
Yeah, but the first time you get, like, a flying headshot while you're in the air and the other guy's in the air, you're
then you're like, that makes up for it. You're like, okay.
That was really great. And, like, you know, and I thought the escalation was good because, like, when you finally get the lightning storm, it's like, I'm a really bad person. Fuck Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, that was fun.
Emperor Palpatine's a pussy. This is badass.
What's so your?
I liked him. I thought it was really great, man. I can't wait for a sequel.
What was your favorite power? If you had to pick one.
What's the question?
Favorite power.
Favorite power.
Power?
All right, evil side shot grenades.
Yes.
Because those little, because on the evil side, you throw a shot grenade, and it breaks off into other little motherfuckers.
Yeah.
It turns into a cluster bomb, and as it ranks up, it goes, like,
three,
rank
five,
one is
seven.
Like three,
yeah.
Two is five, last one is seven. So, like, you throw one cluster bomb, and it's just like, XP, 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 XP. It was really cool. That and
I like
Megawatt Hammer.
Yeah, the good side Megawatt, where they just like float in the air, and then you're like, zap, 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 zap.
Yeah. That was really, that
riding
was really,
the,
really
riding
cool.
the power lines.
That was a lot of fun. Cool.
And like getting a lift off of a power line and then doing your hover thing. Like, that shit was fun. And then again, once you did the thing where you got the extra, you know what I'm talking about with the orb at the place,
mm-hmm.
you make the evil decision, and you get like a hojillion battery cores. You just get like...
See, that's what I need to do.
And your lightning turns like black.
I like when you get the...
So you can just go out and like lightning storm for like 10 minutes. It was really great.
When you get the riding the power line recharges your health.
Yes.
And there's, you know, a couple parts where like... In particular, either the railroad or, where it's more useful, the power lines that circle that one tall building. And you just can just ride in a circle and blow the fuck out of everything.
Yeah.
And nothing can touch you because you're basically
on
the line. And unless you blow up a car underneath you and it knocks you off the line, you know, you're good.
Well, in the I liked that there were just enough missions where they gave you electrified grids.
Yeah.
Or it's like, hey, Cole, we put like a grid and some batteries and some crazy shit on top of this bus, so you have infinite energy.
Yes.
And like the first couple times through, like those missions, I'd be playing at normal, and I'm like,
oh wait,
I would fuck up, and I'm like, no, I need to rethink this thing.
Uh huh.
Spam Megawatt Hammer.
Yes.
And just throw grenades all day. Just grenade, 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 grenade. And I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. The one at the prison.
Yes.
When it's like just golems and shit coming.
I was doing the sniper because you know the sniper, how it slows, you know, the
time
distortion.
Dude, I just threw grenades. Yeah. I was like, I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm throwing like another
Megawatt
grenades.
Hammering grenades everywhere. Yeah.
I was like, dude, I feel overpowered as shit.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And then motherfucker threw a rock and broke my my grid.
I threw a rock
at him.
It was just good.
It was a big rock.
I had so much fun with that game. I was glad to have purchased it with like actual money.
Yeah,
I feel good having.
Can
done
I borrow
that.
It now?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. It was terrific though. I mean, you know, and hopefully everybody else out there has a really great time with it. I know everybody can't, and I mean, it's got flaws and stuff. I just didn't.
Do you think a multiplayer aspect would be?
Man, would you shut up?
I'm just trying.
Shut your fucking mouth, man. We've already got enough of that.
How about some co-op?
I mean, no, I don't, actually.
Okay.
No. I don't want to co-op that game. I'm the fucking badass. I am. Me and Cole. Me.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't want anybody else in that game.
All
and
right.
really, like, that game is about being horrifyingly imbalanced. Like, in favor of me, you know? Like, and it was the environment and the setup and everything. And in some situations, like... billions of bad guys. Fuck those guys with rockets, by the way. Like, the bitches are sneaky.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I guess they figured out they had to be.
Yeah, right? They move quick for big guys.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want any kind of multiplayer in that game whatsoever. It's that kind of thinking, Matt, that got all sorts of weird shit crawling up in our Uncharted and our Bioshock. Which I don't need.
Blame Matt.
No, I'm not interested in that. Now, to kind of sidestep off into something that's very similar... Thank you very fucking much, guys who used to be Real-Time Worlds, for the 4-player co-op and 16-player multiplayer in Crackdown 2.
Oh.
Thanks. I mean, honestly, like, that's good. Like, the 2-player was a little disappointing in the previous game.
Better than nothing, but...
Better than nothing, but not as good as 4.
Yes.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah, which, by the way, yes, Scott, you sort of called it a little bit.
Come on. Come on.
You got the orb sound right.
I just figured if that was the way...
You just stopped at title card.
Well,
should have gone all the way.
I didn't think we were going to get any type of, well, you know, what we got, which is just kind of like a CG trailer. That was it. Although I like how in the CG trailer there are orbs just sitting out there.
Was that really CG, or was that one of those like pre-rendered but in-game assets? Because
I have to go back and watch it.
Right.
I've only watched it the one time that I saw it that I remember. I remember it being so short that I didn't really go back to watch it. Because right after that, it was like, what is a fucking zombie game? What the hell is this? What? Left 4 Dead 2? Where the fuck is this shit coming from?
Man, I don't know. Like, I mean, clearly we had to get, like, you know, Infamous out of the way. And, you know, here we are. It's after E3. We're not going to recap the damn show because everybody has readers full of shit elsewhere and everybody's seen everything. But there's no way not to talk about it because...
But they want to know our... They want to know your opinion.
Nobody really wants to know. I'm just saying there's no way to not talk about it. To me, it looked like a fucking great show.
I loved it.
I've said this because I've talked to more than a few people that have come back from it now. Like, it's crowded and sort of hostile and busy and unpleasant in a lot of ways. And I think that a lot of what led us to the pared down, more exclusive E3 before was the fact that so many people attending were uncomfortable. But at the risk of sounding like, well, I mean, an asshole, so I suppose I have to around it. I mean, at the risk of sounding that way, I don't really think E3 has anything to do with you, Scott. Mm. You're like a conduit, you know? You're like a jumper cable. You're like a plug from, like, E3 to me. You know, and the people there attending are simply there to bridge the gap and provide the current. They generate the hype. I consume the hype. You just sort of deliver the hype. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
From a press and attendee perspective. Well,
I don't mind that.
From my end of things, like reading the news feeds, reading the Twitter updates, and the various whatnots on, you know, perceived through widgets and plugins all over the goddamn internet.
Yeah,
like I thought it was fucking great.
Yeah. My only the thing was last year it felt like everybody there was on a very level playing field. This year, not so much. Closed door sessions, behind private door sessions, that sort of thing. And which I have to rant for a minute. Why the fuck is Modern Warfare 2 still behind closed doors? Hmm. Why the hell are you putting that behind closed doors? And I also found out that when you go behind the closed doors, it's not a demo. It's the same fucking trailer they showed you from E3.
Yeah.
And then you get to ask them questions. Which I would have loved to have had anyway. I would have loved to have had access to do that, but there was I couldn't see Dante's Inferno, Mass Effect 2. All this stuff was behind closed doors. You had to have an invite. Last year, I would have gotten that invite. This year, not so much.
Yeah.
That's really my only complaint. Activision would be my only booth complaint because when I got there, all they did was give me a booth tour. Which was like, here's this game that's sitting on the show floor. Do you want to play it? No, I don't want to get on your skateboard. here's this. Do you want to play this?
Unless this is the Back to the Future 2 game. I don't want to step on your bullshit little plastic skateboard. Yeah. Is this the Marty McFly? Is this the thing Marty McFly used? No, this is some bullshit Tony Hawk crap. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You give me a Marty McFly game, right? Where I'm like
a pink.
Where I'm like hanging off the back of the goddamn DeLorean
on a pink board. Yeah,
man. Like I'll even buy a fucking pink board if I can do that shit. I'm just saying, like, don't try to con me into your, you know, wireless futuristic top skater knockoff horseshit.
Exactly.
For $120, no thanks.
Oh, like, God.
Unless, you know, I'm towing behind a flying fucking car or something. Like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was my only complaint. The Activision booth was fucking crowded. Just massively crowded. More so than I think probably anybody's booth. Sony's booth was crowded, but they had so much space to deal with that you didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But Activision was like, here's our corner over here. We got a big-ass thing set up for Modern Warfare 2. You've got to be invited to go through that thing.
Yeah, whatever.
But we got a fucking huge-ass DJ Hero stage up here. They would always draw a crowd like every 45 minutes or so. They would do a demonstration. And, like, fucking huge crowd was there.
That's cool, because, you know, that's what we need, another peripheral that's not going to sell.
Yeah, I didn't look at that.
I mean, it looks cool. I've been really curious about... How do you engineer that peripheral into that kind of gameplay? Like, I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Mania.
Yeah. I mean, I'm technically curious, I guess. It's like, hey, that's great. I didn't buy it, but that's really, I'm not even going to play it.
I will say what was nice, though, being at the show floor thing like that was I was walking around filming, and we got the video up on Cog's YouTube channel. And I walked over to the Xbox section, and like Xbox has, they got a two-floor thing sitting in the center of their booth, which again is invite only. I don't know what's going on in there, but it's a two-floor thing there. Surrounding that is like this circle of all these games, like Halo's in one corner, Halo ODST is in one corner with a line out the ass. Forza 3 is set up on one side. Some like Rock Band and Lips and shit is sitting on the other side. And then some Xbox Live titles are on one side. And I was sitting there filming, and some guy was over there going with his Explosion Man thing. And I thought, is that Michael? And I walked over there, and it's Michael Wilford. And I was like, dude, it's great to meet you. And finally. And he showed off Explosion Man, which is going to be great. 100 levels. 50 single player, 50 co-op.
All right.
Four player co-op, by the way.
Damn it.
Wow. I don't even, like, my head wants to run in 8 different directions after that E3. Like, there was more shit than I could really keep in my head as far as, like,
it's
not just what was released, but
it's like, where do you start when you want to talk about it, though?
I honestly feel like you used to. You know, and we haven't actively participated in E3s since like 10 years ago. We were like big 98, 99, 2000 whores.
Yeah.
Right.
Going alone is tough.
I can imagine.
I would like to be again. I've done it enough times that I'm not like, woo, let me fly to L.A. and walk around and pay $9 for a cheeseburger in the commissary and like not have any water or Wi-Fi and nowhere, like 2 seats in the entire fucking place and fuck that. Like I'll just stay at home and read the internet. But there used to be this real constant, predictable sort of wave of shit about, like, now we're in, like, the year... Let's say you're, like, in the year prior to the new systems coming out. You know, you'd hear a bunch of exclusive games, and then there'd be some rumblings about the new shit. And the year that all the new shit would come out would be really big. And then that next year would be huge because it's all games. And then the next couple years after that would be, like, really bland because it was like, well, it's just some games, you know? Comments have been made, you know, not just by us, but in an official capacity about the flexibility of this generation's hardware. And I'm absolutely convinced that this could be... I mean, the show floor is whatever. It's a big old hype train, and that's really great, and I enjoy hype because it's empty calories. But yay! You know? And, like, but all of the things that happened in this show feel really pivotal to me. Like, things that we will, in a few years, look back on and be like, this is where they first talked about this thing, which led, ultimately, to this other thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A great example of that? Mm-hmm. Splinter Cell Conviction.
Yeah.
Because we got a trailer from E3
by the way... Yeah. I had gone to this place with Conviction where I was like, whatever. I didn't really like... Double Agent, and I was like,
it was one of my surprises
about the whole thing. Like, I saw that, and I was like, no, this is what I hated, right? And I think to some degree, this defined a recurring mistake of this year's E3. So I watched the coverage, and I was like, yeah, Conviction. I was like, they were showing like the CG trailer or something. I was like, man, this looks like fucking butthole. This looks like shit. And then I saw what I couldn't quite comprehend at first because it looks fucking great.
When he was doing
in the bathroom, and I was like, "Well, this is beautiful. What the fuck is going on here?"
He just shoved that guy's head in the toilet.
And then, like, but what's happening? Is this something wrong? Because like, was doing those.
The projection.
I was like, this is really. Oh. And then they ran through all of that. I was like, oh.
When, like, your mission objectives are projected onto, like, the scene.
I was, yeah, and I was like, well, that's kind of cool. And, yeah, you're right. Yes, presenter guy, we've seen this in movies before. But how it was sort of integrated into these different moments, not just as a... It wasn't as blunt as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
The moments that they chose to... sort of add all these appliques and all of these overlays and everything were really... I came away thinking, A, clever. Just like, clever was oozing from every corner of that game.
It gave me a sense of like, wow, this hasn't been done before?
it was. It's a good idea. Yeah. Good ideas usually like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And B, thank fucking God, Fisher's off the hook.
Yeah.
Because for several Splinters, particularly in Double Agent, I was like, oh my God, I just want to kill somebody. Please just let me kill somebody. It's another mission where I can't kill anybody.
Yeah.
I'm really angry. Can I just kill some guys?
Mm-hmm.
And like, no. And so very much a part of this story is how he's going to kill some guys.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, well, that's a good idea too. So I was so fucking in love with Conviction.
Mm.
And I had gotten so far from a place where I cared from, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And even then, I was like, eh. You know, like, okay, they're making a fifth one. I don't really care. I kind of like the ending of Double Agent, but I didn't like the game.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, I'm like, holy shit, if there has ever been an object example of why you go back to work, how to recognize that your shit is flawed and just walk away and go back to work. Holy shit, I love what they've done. Like, I loved what I saw of that.
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely, just out of my mind.
I was
excited
really
for that.
Excited about when I was watching that and seeing how it was all laid out. I was just like, oh, this is great. Thank you for going back and scrapping everything.
Damn right. Now that's pretty much the only good thing Ubisoft did during the whole whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
I was worried that it was never.
But whatever. If the 9,000 Imagine whatever games pay for some Splinter Cell Conviction, then by God, you keep selling that vapid nonsense to 9-year-old girls.
What a horrible press conference that was. A horrible press conference.
Yeah, I tried to watch video coverage of it, and I couldn't.
Holy Christ. I was excited when Cameron was up there talking about his movie. Then, like, 45 minutes after he was talking about his movie, I was like, dude, shut up.
I was reading the Twitter accounts before I actually had gone back and watched the feeds, and it reminded me the Twitter stuff, I think I was reading Kotaku's or somebody's, and it was just something that I could get wherever I was. I was like, okay, I got to figure out what that was because I heard of it. It was horrible. It reminded me of, like, a Resident Evil diary where somebody goes from normal human to unthinking zombie as you flip through the pages.
It's like, hey, and here's James Cameron talking about blah, blah, blah. Very descriptive.
Right.
Oh, now he's going into very descriptive again, and then just...
Right. And then, like, the last entry is, like, 4 itchy tasty.
Still talking about his movie.
Right. You know, I heard it said that Microsoft has been talking about, like, a 10-year thing for the 360 now. And I think I'm finally at a point where I'm willing to believe that, like, the 360 and the PS3 really
could, yeah.
Like,
I have actually, I have come to that point as well.
You know what I realized? This November will be 4 years since the 360 launched.
Really? Okay. Is it four or is it?
I thought it'd be five.
Four. It launched,
it's four. No, he's right. It's four.
2005.
Shit, okay.
So it'll have been 4 years.
Yeah.
So, like, any other life cycle, you know, it's about 5 years in the new.
They'd be coasting.
So, yeah. So they would be talking right now about getting, you know,
unofficial talk, but yeah, it's like
project whatever. Ain't none of that.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's even, you know, nobody. Like,
you get the fan grumbling of like Xbox 720 or whatever, but
gamers, analysts, I mean, nobody, no one is like even considering that they might think about making another system right now. And it's, you know, I think largely because of the, you know, Red Ring of Death and how much that set them back.
Yeah.
The system still costs so much. They're not down to like a really big mass market price yet.
No. But from the optimistic point of view, again, I think there really is flexibility in this generation.
No, I am absolutely ecstatic that I'm not going to have to buy two more consoles in another year or two.
Yeah, goddamn right.
I'm perfectly happy with the three I have.
I mean, I am also very excited. I don't really care about motion control. We've talked about this. But to reach way back down to the core of one of the early problems with the Wii was when what the Wii was doing was all hype. I was there. I was on board. I was like, this looks like cool shit.
The thing then when it turned out, they kept saying was it detects where your controller is in 3D space.
Yeah.
So, and it'll be like, you know, that on the screen.
Well, and no, it's nothing like that. And even with whatever rudimentary motion stuff it has, the developers haven't been able to leverage a lot of great motion control shit out of it.
Like, I don't think slapping on a few more accelerometers on a dongle on the bottom of the Wiimote is going to do it either.
No. What I find fascinating is, and I, you know, here I, this is my bombast, this is my hyperbole. my thought after watching what both Microsoft and Sony presented was like, man, Nintendo, you are fucked. You are fucked. Maybe not by Sony, but Microsoft just fucked you. Because the way people buy Wii's, the way they kind of work towards that, I'm not even going to talk about whether or not I think that's bad or good. But the way it works with people, and you know, not anybody here necessarily, but I'm talking about that thing that they've tapped into that we can't quite identify with.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, just think about what's popular. A $250 Wii, a $90 Wii Fit console, mm-hmm. right? Think about like what you can get with that and maybe a few of the better games that sort of leverage what people tend to be interested in. Mm-hmm. Well, now think about, I don't know, a year from now. I mean, even at this moment, you've got a $200 arcade system. Brand new 360, already cheaper than a Wii. And you package in something that can be marketed at or significantly above the factor of the Wii's appeal mm-hmm. with motion sensitivity. Like, I mean, the thing is even sort of shaped right for family stuff. It doesn't look aggressive. It doesn't look... Natal doesn't... It looks friendly. It's one little thing. It doesn't require anything... It doesn't even require the goddamn remote.
Yeah.
It's actually less complicated than the Wii. And theoretically
it's
will work...
It's less complicated than a track IR.
Yeah. And will work many, many times better if the admittedly... very distant reports are at all correct. Like, so imagine that shit packaged in with their entry-level 360. They're already ahead on the price race. They're already ahead. They've already got a $200 system at market. Mm-hmm. So however they figure in all of this crap, they're probably going to out-Wii the Wii without sacrificing any of what the 360 is already damn good at.
An HD, you know, motion
HD hardcore gamer system where, honestly, 70% of the desirable shit is M-rated anyway. They've already got me. I'm already the hardcore guy that likes to shoot things and see blood and guts spill out. They may have just, like, pulled, like, some Admiral Lord Nelson bullshit maneuvers and, like, outflanked, like, everybody simultaneously. I just looked at what they did. Granted, I didn't like their presentation. It was some canned shit.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Sony actually won
the presentation.
Oh, holy shit.
I agree, yeah.
That presentation blew me away.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, me, as the type of gamer I am and what I like to play, I would much rather play a game on Sony's contraption.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I'm fine with it tracking my movements and doing one-to-one thing. Like, there's some cool shit you can do with that. But goddammit, I want some buttons to press.
Buttons and triggers, and they were very clear about that. They're like, look, man, you can put all sorts of shit on this thing.
Yeah,
so
because I'm sorry, I don't trust Natal to be able to have all of the input I need it to have to play the games I want to play.
I don't...
Especially with the quickness and the response time.
I don't really... even if I trusted Natal 100%.
I don't think that's what Natal's for. I don't think Natal's for me at all.
No, I don't.
You're right, it's for the Wii people.
Dude, and that's what that was my first thought. I was like, I don't like what you're doing, but I saw what you did there.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't hate it. I don't plan to participate because I don't want to drive with my hands out and my foot. I don't want to do that. But, dude, you just face-owned Nintendo. Like, I see it. And if it turns out at all like what you're representing here in your tech,
then,
and by some of the reports we heard from, like, hey, this is rudimentary, hands-on, still early development of, like, how Burnout Paradise works. And by all reports, it was spot the fuck on. With the exception of, like,
well, it'll have to
the
be
acceleration too. And stuff.
Because, like, I watched it, and I'm like, man, that just looks like a big bunch of bullshit to me. I can't believe it. But, yeah.
I don't think that was for us.
If it works like they say, then...
Dude, they didn't show a bunch of people in the video. Who was in the video? The video was a family.
Yeah.
In a giant family room doing family things. The kid was driving, the dad was changing the tires. It was family, you know. And you hug this one, and you hug this one, and you throw some kisses around, you grab popcorn, everybody loves everybody because we change tires and race together. And great. And
I love you, Dad.
That's cool. And clearly, when Scott buys one of these things, I'm going to go over to Scott's house and I'm going to do some fun shit. Clearly, there will be something neat in all of this, because I get the impression, my gut feeling is that the tech is vastly superior to what Nintendo's tech is. But what I thought was so amazing about it was all the pieces are there by, like, next Christmas for this thing, for this combination of 360 and Natal to be everything and more than what the Wii was, like, this past Christmas in terms of desirability for people who want that, who feel like there's an experience being built for them. For, honestly, yes, for the family with, like, the wife, the husband, the couple of kids, and they want to sit around on their big couch on their big living room and do some fancy stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, 2 months ago, I would have agreed with anybody who said that the Wii's market, and as pathetic as anybody may agree that the Wii's efforts have been, Nintendo's efforts have been, that market, like, that thing, it's kind of cinched down, and don't bother running after it. You're never going to catch it. Like, just let it go. And then I saw that, and I was like, oh, boy, I'd have been really wrong if I said that, because they just did. And then somebody told me Sony, because I missed Sony's thing right off, and a couple people were like, you need to watch that shit. And I was like, you know how I am when people say you need to watch that shit. So I'm like, God damn it. I went and I watched it, and then I watched it again. And then I watched it again, and I was like, all right, yes, two controllers and a camera. I get it. That's, they're talking to me. Yeah. Like, these guys are talking to me now.
And that shit worked.
It looked really,
they
really good.
It worked.
And, like, I, you know, and, like, A, Sony made me actually care about motion control more than I ever really wanted to. Right. I was like, God damn it, I don't want to care about this.
I know. Because after Natal, man, after the Natal presentation, I was pretty bummed out.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, this shit's, like, creeping into to my stuff now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't think it'll work, but if it does work, I don't know that I want it, you know, over in my...
Right.
Is this going to start displacing my interests, you know? Because we always kind of... You know, I always thought, you know, there was room for both, you know, markets and stuff.
But you're worried.
I was very worried.
You're worried.
I was like, Microsoft's making an effort to go after the Wii people. If that takes off, are they still going to care about us?
Well, I mean, it is... It sometimes, I think, in retrospect, sounds sort of stupid, but you panic.
You do,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, whether it's, like, on the scale of an entire console operation. I mean, it's the same kind of panic you feel in an MMO. It's like, you know, a patch comes around and your class doesn't get the updates. Mm-hmm. And you're like, holy shit, did they just not ever want to, like, do anything good for me anymore? Like, do I need to switch classes? Do I need to buy a new console? You know, mm-hmm. It's that sort of worry, because there really is a finite amount of time and money and...
Yeah.
Development and everything.
People tend to go where more money is, and yeah. I don't know really which one is more profitable, you know, in the long run. But I mean, I think I understand that, like, our stuff has box office, big opening weekend, then peters out. You know, lots of money up front, and then you're done.
Yeah.
And the other stuff, like, kind of grows and has a long life, and slowly brings in, like, a steady stream of money. And, like, I don't know. I think the jury's still out on which one's more profitable. Probably doesn't take as many resources to develop that stuff either. So, like, is there room for both? I sure hope so.
Yeah.
You know, I really hope so. And
but yeah, that's coming off of Natal, but then coming off of Sony.
Of Sony, I was like, wow, that looks kind of fun.
Yeah, you know? It looks like everything I was afraid of in the other realm, but actually really, because they didn't.
That's the thing I was excited about doing when I first heard about the Wii.
Yeah.
It's what Sony should do.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I guess that's really what I was going after, is that Microsoft just they outmaneuvered you in terms of the style of what your thing was. And then Sony just outmaneuvered you in terms of the raw technology.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of looks like a phaser.
What?
The Sony one?
The Sony one's just an engineering prototype.
Yeah.
They said, like, five different times that, like, this thing bears no resemblance to the final product.
Okay.
It looks like some stupid Dr. Seuss thing, because it's just what helps us work with it right now. But, like, that's your prototype? I mean, I'm sorry, there's no bullshitting how quickly that thing tracked.
Yeah, your prototype was one-to-one.
And how perfectly it tracked. And, like, it was a little bit wonky and weird, but I was like, man, that was really fun. Like, that shit with the arrows and the shit with, like, first-person shooter.
Yeah,
I was like,
God,
man. Dude. What?
Swinging the mace over his head. I mean.
It's awesome.
But don't you worry about Nintendo. They'll be fine. They've got a vitality sensor.
Yeah, right?
Man, what the
Yeah, what
fuck?
The hell is that?
I got an idea. I'm going to hook it up while I'm playing with the Sony stuff.
Uh-huh.
So it can tell me how excited I am using real.
Well, my first thought was, is this so that if I die in real life, I can die in the game? I couldn't think of any other use for that, but yeah, all right, great.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here?
I don't know, dude. Like I said, there was so much that I thought happened. I mean, it felt really. There was a. I don't even know what kind of release it was. For Sony to finally put FF7 up on the network. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even sure anybody really even wanted it anymore. It just should have happened so long ago. And then they finally did it, and we're all like, geez.
All right.
What do we do? I will tell you know what happened? And like, motherfuckers, just, oh, God, you're such bastards. I really want a PSP now. I don't even necessarily need to go, which, by the way, I'm little cheesed off at the pricing.
Yeah, I get it,
but I'm like,
I lost a lot of interest when I saw
it. I can't. I just put one of those in my hand.
Yeah, man, they're snappy. Like,
holy shit, it doesn't even feel like it's in your hand.
Yeah.
What's the price?
$250.
Yeah.
All right. You can buy like a retail refurbished or like a quality used $2,000, say, if you want to split the difference, right? And you can buy it for like a $130, I think, $140, something like that. No more than $150. And like, there's nothing that the Go can do that the old ones can't. The old ones just require you to shell out a little bit more for substantial
storage,
memory.
Yeah.
And that's totally cool. And the whole thing, like, sort of generated a wave of hype that, again, more hype, and I was riding on it, but I was like, also, again, I've pointed out from time to time that I'm completely stupid. And sometimes if avenues of understanding are not, if I'm not forced down these roads, mm-hmm. I will never venture down them on my own. I somehow completely misunderstood the brilliance of the interconnectivity between the PS3 and the PSP.
Okay.
Like, the way that they mate so perfectly together. I thought that, like, well, yeah, you know, like, Resident Evil, like, that came up on the network, and I was like, man, yeah, I would like to have that, because, like, Dana, for example, has no concept of this stuff, and I'm tired of relating the Four Itchy Tasty story to her every now and then when I can show it to her, you know? And I was like, that's really great. And there were a lot of people who honestly just weren't even, like, you know, walking on their own when that game came out, who are now playing video games. So, cool. That's Seven. Really great. And then, like, 7 comes out, and I'm like, whoa, that's really awesome. And then they announce Metal Gear Solid for the network, and I'm like, this is really cool. But, like, man, I don't really want to play these on my HD set. I got other things I want to do. And I go to the COG thread, and, like, all the way down, they're like, yeah, I bought it. It's on my PSP, and I'm playing it. It looks brilliant. I'm like, no, what did you do? And it's like, yeah, you know, you download all this PS1 classic stuff, which looks like shit on your HD set, but you just put it on your PSP. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You can do what now? What?
You'll start.
Wait a minute.
No. Can you borrow Infamous?
Clearly, I'm not that stupid. No.
Just oversight.
Yes, I am. And I was like, you mean I could just, you know, I could play Final Fantasy VII just wherever on a PSP, and it would look great. And like, you know, I don't know, something connected there, and I was like, I really want to do that. Hmm. In connection with the idea that they're like, yeah, we're just going to be releasing like a monkey buttload of PS1 classics from now to the end of the year, like just one after the other. And I'm like, that's really cool. And then several other announcements about people just releasing their shit on the PlayStation Network, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I don't know if you can do all this, right. But it's something we did when my cousin John came over one time, and he had a PSP, and I just got my PS3, and but you can put a PS1 disc in your PS3, wirelessly connect to it, and play it on your PSP.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what the fuck, man? So it's a cool shit happening. Like, I've got a PSP, clearly it's my duty to buy a PSP to match it with my PS3. I owe it to my PS3 to do this.
He's looking for his buddy, and he can't find his
thing. So all of a sudden, I was like, well, thanks a lot, man. That's, at minimum, another $150 I got to spend. And then however much on some significant storage. But I was really, really interested in the idea, and I had never really before been interested in the notion of the PSP. You know? But all of a sudden, this whole, let's take our life completely to the network got me really excited. I mean, because it's, We've talked about the pitfalls before, but I just can't. I can't help. But in my mind, it's an absolute certainty that that's where we'll be in any number of years. And I had expected very small steps, little things like game expansions on console networks, like Lost in the Damned, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, see, this is testbed stuff, you know, like what was it, Patapon 2. Only on their network, like this test bed, they're testing it out, you know. One of these days, like, you know, a couple years from now, they're gonna like make a serious commitment. And then Sony's like, no UMD drive for this whole model of thing. And I'm like, that's slightly more than a serious, I mean, that's bigger than a small step. That is the commitment, you know. Not a huge one, but it is. And then like there's that sense that their whole network delivery of games and stuff is maturing at a real... I mean, I know that, whatever, Resident Evil and Metal Gear Solid and Final Fantasy VII, that's whatever, but the pricing's not bad. It's $10 for bona fide classics. I like that. There's something about it that's really appealing to me, particularly if the library
because
increases at all.
I'm going back and playing some of those old PS1 games.
It has...
No interest on my part.
It has more to do with, again, like I said, if it was downloading onto my box and playing on my TV, I didn't have any interest whatsoever. But my relationship with handheld gaming mm-hmm. is very specific. And I like things that I'm never heavily invested in. And so classic things, things that I've played before, are things that I'm not heavily invested in. Couple that with the fact that I am in love with the idea of handheld gaming that does not require me to carry around a bunch of little goddamn carts and discs. Just, I feel like fucking around with some FF7 right now.
Sure.
Nah, fuck it. I feel like being Solid Snake right now. Like, that has an amazing appeal to me. Like, that's just a quick fire. That's what does it for me. And again, this notion of stuff just being sold and delivered and dealt with online. There's going to be a lot of filth and a lot of anger and resentment and a lot of nasty things to get through to get to a point where we're all just in it and dealing with it. But I'm anxious for it because I have a sense that it's going to be better for a lot of people. I have a sense that we might find ourselves in a place where independent developers have a real market or a real avenue to market on consoles the same way they do on PC, mm-hmm. to where we see a better balancing of cost of development versus sales, you know, where people really will ultimately commit to lower prices or at least, you know, flashes of discount behavior. Mm-hmm. Again, like has already been shown on the PC. I mean, anybody who has been in both places can and really should tell you everything of any worth or value that's happening on the console has already been done. And it may be in a different shape. I mean, you make the joke earlier, like, the tallest badass, like, next level shit, but, you know, I was fucking around with my Track IR headset 6 years ago. Like, it was rudimentary on the PC, and it had no deep base, it had no mm-hmm. roots, and it was not stable, and it's, you know, you gotta be a particular kind of guy to, like, go around.
You gotta wear a hat or a headband.
You gotta wear a headband with, like, some shiny silver dots on it.
Yeah, you do.
You know, and, like, you do all sorts of weird shit in your room like this, you know, and you sort of walk around like you got sit in your chair like you got problems, but whatever, because, you know, you're looking around inside that virtual fucking cockpit while you do your thing in your flight sim, you know? I'm telling you, it's all been there. The trails have already been blazed. They're just, now they're being paved by the consoles, I guess you could say, but they will follow in the same direction. And I was, you know, I was like, go, you know, you do that. You take that goddamn UMD drive out of your PSP, because really, it's been a shackle around the PSP's ankle the whole way. Everybody's kind of turned their nose up at the UMD design, and really, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's just damn stupid. So get it out of there. Use what you're good with. See where it leads you. See where it leads other people. There are opportunities there we haven't even thought about yet. And it's good. I just have a sense that it's good. But yes, there will be some bad.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it. Like, transference of rights from one platform to another. The fact that there is essentially no secondary market. At least not even within years from now.
Yeah.
Until somebody figures out rights management.
Right.
But I'm willing to believe that it'll be better once we get there. Plus, I just have a disdain for moving parts in any form of
Well, the 360's, you know, announcement of being able to buy, you know,
see, that was the next thing. Yeah. I was like, oh, the PSP, that, what a huge step forward in the concept of digital delivery. And they're like, no, fuck that. Like, here's this. And I was like, well, shit.
Should I tell you, as it stands right now, as much as I'm, you know, I like the digital thing, I don't think I would buy a $60 title as a download.
Well, no.
Because
I agree with you.
Yeah, because then I... Yeah, there, it has no intrinsic resale value.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
And it's tied to the, you know, console once, you know, the...
So there is really only one answer.
Once the generation's over, is it any good?
And that's a big question. Yeah. And it may as well be answered in the negative for all practical purposes.
Sure.
until it's proven to be positive.
That, like, it will just vanish if I no longer have
so
a 360.
So there is only one way to sell it. Mm-hmm. Reduce the price.
Yes.
That's the only way to do it. And that's... Again,
it's also
I think
unlikely
they're,
to happen.
Yeah,
in
but
the,
I think
in the
that,
immediate future.
I think. Well, I don't see. I don't know. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm saying I don't know. I think Lost in the Damned was them putting their toe in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of arcade stuff, but Lost in the Damned was a big. It was a big. They committed to. This is like an enormously huge selling game, and we're going to create something that's a lot of people are going to want to play, and we're just going to refuse to sell it to you the way you're used to buying it. And it did really, really well. So, okay, that was the toe. I think this is the whole foot. And I think the library of available stuff is going to be important. I think prices are going to be important. And I don't know. I believe that stuff's all just totally up in the air. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no... Well, not up in the air, but we don't have the information. The absolute information, you know.
You know what this opens the door for, though, that I'd get really excited about? A subscription service to games.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
where
it's a great idea.
Just like Gamefly, I pay a certain amount a month for a certain number of games to have installed on the system.
Yeah.
And if I want to download a different one, I have to delete one.
It has not, you know...
absolutely subscribe to that.
That was a little bit where some of the music guys tried to run after their failure with P2P and all this other shit.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out well. But Microsoft, for example, if Microsoft is the first to take steps along that route, would be coming from a bit of a different direction.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? Where rental and subscription services have already proven themselves successful in the same field, just with different methods of delivery.
Sure.
So yes, that would be terrific. Or, for God's sake, if they want to offer me,
you've got to get everybody on board. You know.
Yeah, you do.
Everybody.
Well, if anybody can get everybody on board,
it's Microsoft.
Yeah. Microsoft. Yeah. So,
this is how we're going to do it.
And as a sidestep, and like I don't know that anybody in this room gives a shit, but I think again, it's extremely noteworthy. The Twitter and Facebook integration.
I'm pretty excited about that.
It doesn't do a
Microsoft,
lot for me.
Microsoft is the only. One of the three that would think to do it because they're the only American company, and Americans are by and large, you know, as opposed to the Japanese companies, you know, not necessarily, but you know, are the only ones that really give a damn about that stuff. Yeah. But it's going to be big over here.
Well, it reinforced my opinion that Microsoft knows how to make you want to be in their space.
Yeah,
they know how to pull the different things that you love or maybe would love. And just drag them all into this thing. They know how to make me more at home, regardless of whether I do or do not care about Twitter, Facebook, Messenger integration, any of these things past promised and now delivered, which we're finally getting the everybody sit around and MST3K this movie together, which was promised a year ago, by the way, and has been re-promised, but whatever. Regardless of whether you care about it or not, they know how to bring these sort of disparate multimedia dimensions together and contain them in this one space, which makes you like the space more.
Yeah.
You might not use all the functionality of it, but it's there.
But if you do, you have suddenly... The service, the container in which all of these things are found is now more endearing. It's dumb. It's so dumb. And I don't like our avatars all that much, although I like them so much more now that I have sandals. But, like, when I, you know, go to my friends list, you know, and, like, that first whatever is people in a party. And I'm like, man, there's, like, three of my buddies having some fun with some other buddies in there.
Yeah.
It's like, man, they sure look like they're having fun.
They're all waving and happy and smiling.
I wish I was at a party.
Yeah.
I don't even really need to play anything, but, you know, that's because it looks fun, man, you know? And then I realized, like, fuckers. You and your shitty little avatars, you forced me to emote. And that's what they do, man. They drag all this shit in, and it's like...
And I'm not one of those guys, but I can totally understand, like, the guy that hangs out in the party that's playing the other game.
Yeah, that's Kevin.
To be with his buddy.
That's
yeah.
Kevin. That's what Kevin does. Kevin wants to see us on in a party just so he can, like...
And, you know, I like having him
so
there.
He can play Silent Hunter 2.
It's great.
While we're all doing some other shit.
Because it's kind of like we used to hang out in the room, and, you know, if you guys would be playing a game and everybody else would be hanging out. It's great. Yeah.
I do like it.
That's kind of why I'm excited about the Facebook and the Twitter.
It's very much along the same lines.
Because I pretty much use Facebook as a tool to, like... Hey, you know, I played and I beat this game, and that's what I think about this other thing. I don't do it very often, but, like, and I've got, like, all these other people that are friends that don't have anything to do with games, and I say something about games, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm
like,
this thing. I like to do that. I usually put some status update from, like, EVE Online, and then I get a lot of, like, are you okay? What does that mean?
Well, I said something about the finale to BSG, right?
Yeah.
And somebody that went to high school with me was like, what's BSG? You know, I'm like,
well, it's this here. Become a fan.
Type BSG into Google and you find out what it is. But anyway.
You'll be fine.
Pulling that in further into my video game thing and making it more part of that is just,
God
I love
damn,
it.
Man, I'm sorry. Like, there's a million reasons to hate them, but, like, there is a certain, and I didn't ever see it coming, but there really does seem to be a, it's going to come out wrong, but there's a Western genius to this era of video gaming. Like, the Japanese, like, we all used to be supplicant to the Japanese
thing. That's exactly right.
And it's like, we just dealt with it, you know? Mm. And we kind of got Stockholm Syndrome, where we'd be like, fuck you, Western guys, you're not doing what the Japanese, they're giving us, like, RPGs.
Look at all this crazy, cool stuff the Japanese do.
No, you're not doing that. And then when Microsoft fell on its face a little bit with the Xbox, we were all sort of ha-ha'd and pointed at them. Or not all of us, some people clearly did see it for what it was. But this shit, man, like, they know how to make what I want.
Yeah.
Even if I don't really want it.
Yeah, guys over there in the East are like, yeah, we're trying to figure out how to integrate some of that Western flavor into our stuff. I'm like, yeah, things have changed a lot in the past 10 years.
But again, I don't personally care about either of those things, but once more I was struck by how perfect it is for what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And to reiterate what you said before, you sure 10 years is a long enough time? I see you guys clearly have a long-term plan.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I really do feel like Sony's moving around a bit more now. Like, I liked their stuff, and I liked their announcements, and it certainly didn't have the heft of the Microsoft stuff, largely because Microsoft managed to do its own press conference with other people's game announcements. You know, it's like, whatever. Like, I don't think of Splinter Cell Conviction as a Microsoft thing, but it's only on their shit, so they kind of forced me to think about it as a Microsoft thing. and that sort of sucks, but I liked Sony stuff. It was really just, it was only sad because it's all kind of happening next year, you know? 13 next year, 14! I was like, we're still on 13, right? Like, we didn't do
that
anything
weird.
It
was really weird when he said that. Hey, we really thought it was a joke.
You know what's funny? That is not the most number of Final Fantasies they've previewed at an E3. Because I remember one year they previewed 9, 10, and 11.
Jesus.
9 on the PlayStation.
9 was the last PS1. 10 was the first PS2. And then 11 sat aside because it was online.
MMO. Yeah. And at the time, 10 like had some online shit that they were supposed to do. But of course, that never, ever happened.
Well, I gotta tell you, I am very excited about 11. I did not play 11 before. We had some guys who played it, and it was like weird integration, in my opinion, between
the
PC.
You're excited about 11.
I mean, whatever, 14, same goddamn game. Right. I am excited about 14 because it was. I thought 11 was really awkward. Mm-hmm. Like, the PS2 is just not...
It can't handle it the way that
these... It's not the place to do
current,
that, in my opinion. And I know it went to the 360.
It wasn't the place or the time to do it.
But, exactly. Yeah. And it was interesting and aggressive, and I still have a lot of respect for it, and I kind of wish I'd been one of the people who played it. I envy the people who did when it was... a little more relevant. Mm-hmm. But that whole thing is kind of, that it's coming around again on the PS3. And, like, I'm excited. And I know it's going to be on the PC, but I'm like, this feels like a very console-centric MMO. I'm really eager to play that. Because I have a lot of friends who really just don't want the hassle of maintaining a rig, mm-hmm. a PC rig to play MMOs and stuff together, and it's a thing we just don't ever do together because whatever, but if it's got the accessibility and the ease of use of a normal console game and everybody can just sort of dive in and play it together, I would be really interested in that. It's also, you know, it also avoids what I think is still an issue on the 360 of pay for your internet, pay for your live access, pay for your game access, you know, all at once. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, still...
Well, so far, like, I don't know how many MMOs are on the 360. I know 11 was ported to it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have a gold membership to play it.
See, now I... Okay. And I had also heard something, and this just comes to mind, about why 14 was not announced for the 360.
Okay.
That there was some weirdness about Microsoft really not wanting to give access to the silver guys. So, I don't know if that's true or not. Hmm. I did hear that. Or maybe it was just them being like, we're really fucking sick of the 360 taking all our shit. Like, Squaresoft, you're going to do this over here. Or at least do it here first. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, but I thought that was really neat. I was like, okay, you're not stepping all over 13. Like, you did kind of what you did with 10 and 11, so mm-hmm. that's cool. And I do think now is the time, and that is the place, to do a console MMO. I've been kind of waiting for somebody to really do it again, for real. No, I don't want to. I'm not trying to disparage 11, but it is from an older time. I want somebody to try it again. So I don't know. I thought that was really kind of cool. Now, if I can use their little motion sensing shit in it, that would be really awesome.
So what else?
Where are we at? I mean, we're missing like a thousand fucking things. Well, mostly individual game things.
Let's hit up Nintendo's, because I think they've got the least, honestly, to offer, unfortunately.
It was a better show than last year, but that's only because you couldn't have done worse than last year.
Right,
yeah.
Well, like, if you showed me one thing I was interested in this year, and they actually showed more than one thing. Like, I think there were about three.
They gave you, they pretty much gave you everything from their core character lineup, I guess.
But it was
still
bad.
No, it was still a bad show. It was, but they give you two Super Mario games. One being just basically
one. Yeah, the first one, I was like, okay, yeah, that's something Becky and I'll play because
it made sense. Sure, I was like, damn, right. That's a damn good Mario game on your DS.
I'm not excited, but I'll play it.
Yeah, and then Mario Galaxy 2 they put in there as well, which is like, okay, more
I was
the same.
Sure. A little excited about that because I enjoyed Galaxy.
Yeah, it was a good.
I was surprised that they were doing that, but
out of nowhere, yeah.
Yeah.
Metroid.
Metroid. Other.
Jump to the end, why don't you?
Yeah, he does. He likes to. Golden Sun.
Spoilers.
Golden Sun was really, really great
Golden
to hear.
Sun.
Like I fucking loved those games. Those games, like, I have very fond memories of Golden Sun 1 and 2 playing those backstage. I enjoyed that shit a lot.
That was
GBA.
A bit of a shock and a little bit, you know, something to get excited about.
There was word they didn't announce it here and then, but the new Zelda title coming next year.
Yeah.
A new Zelda game for the Wii coming next year, and then of course Metroid.
And Metroid developed by.
It's weird how they're switching over like this. Team Ninja's doing a Metroid game. Kojima's doing a Castlevania game. But yeah, so, and then Metroid. So it's like, yeah, here's all our core characters.
Oh, that's great. I like a fresh start, for one thing, because I didn't play any of the Prime games, and I feel kind of bad about that. So when something comes out that's like something 4, and I didn't play 1 through 3, I'm like, ugh. I don't want to jump in on the middle of that, or the end of it, or whatever. So, like, fresh start, new... game concept, new team, new everything, and somebody said something in the chat room that kind of hit with me. It was like, I'm getting all excited about this Metroid game, but I have to stop myself because I keep picturing it in my head as an HD thing on my HD set. I'm like,
I
do too. It's not gonna be, is it?
No.
But yeah, hopefully that'll be fun enough to play. The Kojima thing, though, I don't know.
Am I missing something, not feeling that? Like,
no, because I'm not. I mean, on the one hand, like, I am glad that they're going to do something different with Castlevania. I mean, I love the 2D Metroidvania stuff, but it's been done and done and done to the point that I'm not even interested in it anymore. Certainly not on the DS anyway. Maybe if you gave me like something on the 360, the Live Arcade or PSN,
right.
Or you know, maybe something a little high def, maybe I could get into that again. But I've played enough Castlevania games on my DS. I'm done. Absolutely done. So if they want to take another direction, fine. I think Kojima is a very odd choice to make a Castlevania game. We'll see.
He's demonstrated an ability to do a lot of things, but to make the kind of games that Castlevania is known for being, that's not something he's demonstrated.
It looks to be a misstep to me.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's had plenty of those.
It has.
It survived all of them. It can survive a few more if that's what it is.
The only other Nintendo-related title that I wanted to discuss is for the DS. I don't know. Was that Mario Inside Bowser's story thing? Was that anything interesting to you?
No.
Okay, good. Then we can skip it.
I
totally forgot about it, but I realized that not everybody's me. So, was Scribblenauts?
Yeah, I saw your write-up on that.
Fuck.
You seem to be really into that thing.
That game.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy that game. That's just a really look. They put keyboard cats in it. I'm not shitting you. You can type in keyboard cat, and there he is.
Really?
Yes.
Holy shit.
I'm not kidding. Long cat is in it. Really, he's in there. Just damn near anything. That was part of the challenge of the game itself, is like to try and think of something that was not in that fucking game. Scribblenauts is a game...
Sort of shit I used to do with Text Adventure.
Yeah, Scribblenauts. Scribblenauts is a DS game. It's a puzzle game. Each little... You're trying to get a star. You collect stars and then, you know, kind of move up in the game doing that. Each puzzle has a par, kind of like golf. And you got to do it in this many tries and that sort of thing. You get extra points for being very creative. In the solution of these puzzles. Puzzles can have many different solutions. Basically, each puzzle presents you with a challenge. You have to do something. For instance, one puzzle was just like me and another guy in the desert. I was like, well, what do I have to do? I don't know what I have to do. So the person helping me out was like, well, we need to cool him off. He's really hot. So how do we do that? So you go up to your little notepad and you're thinking, let's give him a hat. A little hat pops out, and you give him a hat. Well, I didn't do it. Let's give him a canteen. Drinks canteen. Voila, puzzle solved. Or you can draw Oasis. Or just type in Oasis, and boom, puzzle solved again. There's just tons of different ways. And then you get a star for when you solve it. Sometimes the star is already in there, and you have to figure out a way to get to it. Maybe a tree is blocking your path. Maybe a big gap in the area is blocking your path. Type something in, and you can do it. There's little things like... If you type in time machine, a little time machine pops out. He gets in it and he goes back in time.
Is it a DeLorean?
No, it's actually more based on H.G. Wells.
Oh, okay. public domain's good. Is H.G. Wells public domain yet?
I believe it should be.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah. I believe it is. But that's the only thing. There's nothing trademarked in the game. You can't type in, like, Disneyland and have it pop in or something like that.
Yeah.
Although Rickroll, I don't know what you would do if you typed that in. Possible it could something could happen. Because when we typed in pirate, there's a pirate. But he was just kind of like, oh, I'm here, I'm a pirate. You type in ninja and those fuckers go at it.
You got me interested.
Yeah. It's a really, really fun game. And there's just plenty of different things you can think of. But there are... There's over 10,000 things in that game just that you can type in and it recognizes. And they're not even done. They can still add in more. So Scribblenauts was a very surprisingly fun game that I wasn't sure. It's very Leighton-esque, as in you can start on something and be like, well, I gotta go, close it and go, and you're not losing any part of it. You know, you can come right back to the puzzle. So that was pretty much. I'm sorry, all the Nintendo fans who listen to us. That's pretty much all I saw of Nintendo. Their booth was quite big. I didn't get a chance to play with the Motion Plus to see how well it tracked. Mm-hmm. The line to get in to do anything like that was just... I didn't have that time with all my meetings and everything else I had to go to. I didn't have time to do much line waiting. So I didn't get a chance to mess with that. But that was my Nintendo experience. I did experience Silent Hill Shattered Memories on the Wii.
Okay.
Which is a remake of, or somewhat of a remake of the first Silent Hill.
Ah.
But there's absolutely no combat
in
the game.
I'm not going anywhere near that then. Scared the fuck out of me.
There's absolutely no combat in the game whatsoever.
Really? None.
I was talking with the guy. There is none. He did say, like, when you before you play the game, you have to fill out a psych exam. Like, there's a... You're seeing a psychiatrist or whatever, and there's, like, questions. You fill this thing out before you get on to the game. And based on the answers to those questions determines how the game watches you. It's a very big thing. Like, before you play, there's a warning thing. It says the game's always watching you. Every choice you make is a decision that will affect future decisions throughout the game. I'm not exactly sure yet how that works.
It's like a choose your own adventure.
Not necessarily.
No?
Like, we were going through a building, and we get to the end of a wall, and it's not like... I mean, it's a free roaming game. You can just go wherever you want to go. But, however, we got to the end of this T-intersection. It's like, well, the bathroom's to the left, exit's to the right. And it's not like it gets to there, and you have to click on exit to go to exit or click on bathroom. You go either by instinct or whatever. It doesn't matter. However, if you go to the bathroom... weird, but if you decide to explore the bathroom, further on in the game, when you come to a street corner, one of the buildings will be unlocked and the other building will be locked, whereas if you went exit the other time, it would reverse.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's just an example of that, but apparently everything you do in there is completely being watched. Every decision you make is being watched and calculated for further. I don't exactly know what kind of impact that has. Maybe in how the story plays out, I'm not exactly sure. But there is no combat. Anytime you run into monsters, you just fucking have to run. That's it.
Man, this sounds creepier than the first one. Like, first one was bad enough. But at least you could defend yourself, I guess.
Yeah, no. If they jump on you...
You still have the little radio and it's static and shit when you get close to a monster?
You got a cell phone. Not necessarily radio. No, there was no... This is early in the level, so I don't know if maybe you pick it up later on, but when he came close to monsters, there was no warning other than kind of the entire landscape deformed in such a way that it was like, oh, he's getting in some weird
shit. Did you play the first one?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't sound much like the first one.
No, it doesn't.
No, that I thought about that, too. I was like, this doesn't...
In the first one, I pissed myself when the radio started to crackle, and then I swung... things like swung a pipe at things.
Yeah, the monsters are.
And
still,
I started doing that really early on.
The monsters are still really fucked up looking, but
yeah, well, that's
just Silent
that's
Hill.
All of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that only progressed as time went on.
Yeah.
That didn't sort of.
It starts out. You have a car wreck and a dude's missing his daughter.
Yeah.
And so he's
well, okay, it's just like the first one.
Though. Yeah.
No, because he had this radio and like cell phones just aren't creepy. Like,
no.
Radios that like emit. You know, increased amounts of static anytime bad things are near you in the
fog.
That's it's really creepy.
There's video I took over at the COG YouTube channel. If you want,
I mean, it still sounds really, really, really creepy.
Yeah. I tried to get everything into this video. It shows.
And
the
for some reason,
exam.
Wearing the flashlight around your neck creeped me out because I couldn't like
hold it.
Yeah,
point it, you know,
yeah.
It's like whichever direction I face is. And I don't know why that creeped me out, but it did. But like the monsters in the first one too, they weren't as I guess grotesque as ones in later games. Like, Pyramid Head's just kind of weird and brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff in the first one was just weird. It wasn't brutal. It wasn't grotesque. It was just so strange and out of place that it really made me uneasy.
Yeah, it would bother you.
Yeah. I think the low definition models and everything also adds your imagination onto that.
I've been a big fan of the notion for a long time that older ugly games were scarier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Old like build engine games, there was something inherently I downloaded the trial version of Wolfenstein 3D for the 360, and played through it, and it I was uncomfortable in a few places. I was like, it's fucking Wolfenstein. I'm playing it on my 360, but there was something. I didn't know what it was, but like the sound of like the doors closing again behind me, I'd always be like, is something coming? No, okay, right. That's how that works. This is how this works. I've been here before. This is kind of how this works, but. The very low fidelity of like sound and imagery and everything. There was something about it that reminded me of how creepy shit like Wolfenstein and then like later things like Blood in particular Blood had some just like ugly fucking graphics, man. That game scared the shit out of me.
I mean, if you look at System Shock 2, I mean, as opposed to Suck Now, I mean, that one...
Those guys are scary because they were so goddamn ugly. Yeah, I think lower fidelity stuff can be much scarier. Yeah,
but, like, in the first one, it was, like, the skinless bird things that sort of looked like pterodactyls but didn't.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even, like, kidding or anything.
I know. Like, that's the most accurate description I got for him.
First time you see one, you're like, holy shit, a skinless bird thing.
Yeah. And then the little, like, shadow dancing baby things.
Those were my problem.
I can't even conceive of what the fuck that's supposed to do to me. I'm damn sure not going to go near it.
Yeah.
Yep. Pyramid Head looks bad as fuck. I know I'm not supposed to go near it.
Yeah.
Something that I'm not even sure what its purpose
is. It's not even moving in a hostile way.
Yeah, like, that creeps me out a lot more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
Anyway, that was all I saw on the Nintendo side of things, as far as the Wii and the DS are concerned. That was all I saw. So that gets that out of the way. I mean, if we want to look at Microsoft, we already talked about the Natal. We already talked about Splinter Cell Conviction. We already talked about a little bit about Crackdown 2 and Left 4 Dead 2. Being, I don't think we touched on it, but
no. Well, I will say, like, Crackdown 2. I just feel I'm like, oh, thank God, it's announced. Yeah. It looks like it's got all the right shit in it. Like, thank God.
Finally.
Yeah, it looks like
now we can
like,
do this.
The right guys are, what's their studio name now? The other half of the guys from Real Time? No, whatever, it's the right guys. Yeah. It's all the right guys. It looks good. 4-player co-op all the way through.
Yeah.
Run around, be a badass. Great. Thank you very much. I bow to thee. Provide me with awesomeness. Thank you very much. The Left 4 Dead... I didn't apparently have the right reaction when I first heard it, but I am not a Left 4 Dead fan.
Right.
Largely, I think, for the same reason that some people are pissed about the second. I saw it as a collection of very limited content.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really great. We all played it together a little bit when it came out. I was like, this is really fun. But I can see where you could get to a point where all you can do is go through it again and trust that the AI director is going to keep things fresh. And I don't ever want to play this with random people.
Right.
And
right,
it can
right,
be awfully hard to put together the right groups of people. I'm not investing in this. I am down with people who think it's awesome. I believe in its perpetual awesomeness. Maybe when they give it the whole Team Fortress 2 treatment and really start loading up all this content on it, because I understand there's stuff that's promised but not delivered, blah blah blah, whatever. And then to, like, you know, really a lot less than a year, be like, yeah, we're giving you just a full sequel. Man, I'm with you. If you're pissed about Left 4 Dead 2, I'm right behind you. I don't even really care for the game, but yeah. If you want to be pissed off about it, particularly when, like, you know, all those TF2 jackasses over there are like swimming in Olympic-sized pools of free content. Like, Valve has, like, babied and, like, pruned and treated that game in such a great way all this time. And
did
then
you
Left
read
Dead
what
like,
Gabe Newell's reaction was when they came to him to do a sequel?
No.
He was like, that's not in keeping with the character of our company. He was like, this kind of goes against what we're all about.
Gabe said that
to
then
the
why
team.
Did they?
Well, they were really excited about doing, like, a full-blown sequel. They said there was a bunch of stuff they wanted to do that they couldn't do in pieces. That, like, if they wanted to do this thing and this thing and this thing, but it all had to be balanced around, like, the whole package, and they couldn't do it in pieces. And, like, finally he was like, all right, if this is what you really want to do, then go ahead and do it.
Huh. He probably saw this coming. He probably saw this reaction from a lot further away than they did.
Yeah.
That's,
because I did, when I saw that,
sage,
I was like,
man.
He really knows his shit.
I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I couldn't understand it when they.
When I got my head around what it really was, saw what people were saying about it, which, and I saw the videos, and I'm like, you could try to sell this people for $50? Really? Like, I mean, that thing with the frying pan was funny, like, the first time I saw it, and then nothing else was interesting about it. I really kind of felt bad. I was like, there are TF, or Left 4 Dead devotees who are like, I can kind of sense have been waiting for the extra content that should have been there, and it's not. And instead you want to deliver a retail sequel?
Mm-hmm.
And really, you can't do it in pieces? Like, This is the Source Engine, man. Like, is there anything in the Source Engine that can't be done in pieces? For, I mean, with somebody that has the right tools and access to, you know, who's a fucking Valve?
Well, like, to be fair, I think they were just talking about gameplay balance.
Yeah, but...
which doesn't really have much to do with the engine.
But. Is there no way that this could be delivered not as a sequel, but sort of functionally as, like, an expansion pack or an upgrade? I'm just thinking about the people who have made it such a success.
Yeah.
Something that, number one, doesn't cost full price retail again. And then something that can be integrated with the first game so that people don't have to switch out discs or have to, like, if I want to play with you in Left 4 Dead 2, do I really have to leave my Left 4 Dead 1? Can I just join you from what I'm doing right now? Mm-hmm. And we can go do that.
I mean, talk about splitting the player base.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No,
that's
a
huge complaint.
Different games.
That's a huge... It's bad enough when you release a pay-to-download map pack on something like Call of Duty.
Sure.
It's like, here's the people who spent the 10 extra dollars, and here's the ones who aren't. And based on the map rotation, like, these guys are going to get booted, and it's all going to be, you know, we're all going to cry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you want to just put a 2 at the end of it. Say goodbye to all your friends that don't feel like dumping 50 F. I mean, and not for nothing, man, but like, there's like mega blockbuster shit coming out like every third day in November. So, yes, your first game was very popular, but dude, no, you gotta have big nuts to release a game in November. And there's a lot of people who think they do. So I don't know what you're going to do.
I mean, whatever. I'm not going to get pissed about it. I'm just
no, I'm not either. But it, so. I was just like, at first because I was like, oh, a 2. That's really awesome, man. Way to come out with a sequel, I guess. And then I realized that my perspective was all wrong. Mm-hmm. As someone who doesn't play the game, and I read what people were saying, I was like, oh shit, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that turn was immediate.
Yeah,
it was like, why are there zombies on the screen right now? This better not be something Left 4 Dead. Oh, maybe it's an expansion. Oh, shit, Left 4 Dead. Oh, fuck!
Yeah.
No, is what it was.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't even coming in 2010, which I think people would have probably said, all right, 2010, that's fine. But not even 6 months after you've released your first one, you've already announced the second one?
Yeah.
For the same year? Shit.
Yeah, it will be like 1 year, and it's like, that's not... You haven't done enough in the last 8 months.
Yeah.
To justify it. And when I saw it from that perspective, I was like, yeah, brother.
But you know what?
Right on.
To play devil's advocate here just for a little bit, and then I'll stop because it's really distasteful.
Yeah, right.
Call of Duty. You know. Call of Duty about, every year?
Yeah.
And they don't really add a whole hell of a lot. But you expect Valve to. It's just what we've come to expect. And,
well, yeah. I would
trust them.
I would counter that with the philosophies of how Activision is releasing the Call of Duty stuff. Honestly, makes more sense for that. When Valve's whole thing, when they had already set a precedent with Team Fortress 2, mm-hmm. of like, this is how you create a major community mm-hmm. around a game, and then they, you know, like talk about like playing favored child.
Yeah.
Like, here's this one community group, and you're going to, like, treat the others this way. And it's just how they're going to react. With the Infinity Ward stuff, it's like, or not just Infinity Ward, but the Infinity Ward Treyarch kind of bounce back and forth. I feel like 1 year is perfect, particularly since you have two different groups of people developing. And it looks like they're trying to take it in such a way that, you know, like the Modern Warfare people and the, well, I guess maybe the Call of Duty people, which is what maybe Treyarch will be doing, I don't know, are actually two separate entities.
Because if you look at it from the different studios, you're actually getting one every 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
from them.
I mean, I know how I was with Modern Warfare. I was like, okay, I was all about it for like a year. And then it was like, you know, by the end of that year, I was like, I just don't
care. And we haven't had another Modern Warfare in 2 years.
Yeah. And then World of War was out, and we co-opted it, and that was cool, and I played some of the multiplayer, and that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back to the Modern Warfare. But yes, your devil's advocate point is totally legitimate.
How'd you like the gameplay footage from Modern Warfare 2?
This is something that's not going to come out right again, but it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Dude, I saw their fucking teaser months ago. You know what happened when I saw that teaser? $65.99. It's like, whatever.
Bought.
I'm buying your damn game. It's like, you're making it? Is it coming out in November? Good. I bought it. Cool. Done. I don't need to see... I mean, your gameplay looked yeah, okay, it looked good. You haven't shown me what I honestly think is the most important part, and that's the multiplayer.
The multiplayer.
I know a lot of people are still just nothing but single player, and I don't, I mean, I get it, but it's like, if that's all it was, I wouldn't really care, but yeah, great. It looks really good. I mean, you're climbing on the ice. Brilliant. Shooting some guys in the snow. Brilliant. Like, I'm there. I'll play it. I liked the last two that I played. So, well,
thank God for Gamefly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did we see while we were sitting watching Microsoft? Saw Forza 3.
That was the stupidest fucking thing ever. That was another thing very much like the Conviction trailer. It was like, why are these cars dancing?
Yeah.
I don't play Forza for dancing
fucking
cars.
Here's what you can do with
cars.
That video editor. This looks like
a goddamn Peugeot commercial or some stupid shit from, like, you know, I don't know, something someone French would make. Like, I don't want to see this shit. Like, this is stupid. This isn't what you do in Forza. And then, like, I saw some actual gameplay, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is more like it. I really, really like this. But this dancing cars nonsense does not sell Forza. What the fuck? Who fucking thought that was a good idea?
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst thing ever, but it's like, this is stupid. How about you show me the video game? Like, in years past, you had to sort of...
Cool commercial.
Yeah, man, but you had to sell the idea of the video game with some, like, shit-hot CGI on the front end. You had to orchestrate, like, a puppet show to get everybody excited. Then you'd show them the gameplay. Nowadays, like, the gameplay stands on its own. Mm-hmm. We don't do CGI shit anymore for a good reason. The gameplay, it's better. You can do better things with those tools. And it's no more expensive or time-consuming to make it there. Probably less so. And really, if you had just said, Forza 3, here's some cars, like, and they were racing around, it's all anybody who cares about Forza wants. Guys who care about Forza don't... they don't care about dancing cars.
They don't make their cars dance.
Those dudes want to shave a thousandth of a second off, you know? Those dudes, like, want to swap tune settings, like... I mean, that's where all of your investment is.
Well, there's
Forza
the rewind
really
feature that they added into it.
Where, yeah, okay, I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, those features are great.
The
I'm saying it's just
feature
like,
where you, if you mess up, it's like, oh, fuck, rewind. And, you know.
No, that's perfectly fine. I just think that the orchestrated introductory, you know, porn is completely pointless. I was like, all right. And then, again, when I finally saw the gameplay, I was like, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yes. So, what else did they show? What else did Microsoft show off there?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy, because I don't have a very clear understanding of E3 in terms of this is what happened at each press conference. I only know things I saw.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember, because it always feels like I'm overlooking something.
Oh, you are.
I mean, they announced Metal Gear.
Which was like...
Whatever.
Rising?
Yeah. Metal Gear Rising? Is that's the one it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Which I don't quite understand. Oh, wait, it's Metal Gear. I'll never understand it.
You're not supposed to.
No, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't understand?
Well, it's like, I don't know when it's... I don't know where and when it's supposed to happen and necessarily why. I mean, okay, man, you love you some riding, so fine. I'll play your lady boy. Because he was, like, pretty fucking badass in 4.
He was
pretty cool.
If it hadn't
before.
Been for 4, I probably would have scoffed, but
yeah.
All right, yeah, sure. And I'm glad that, you know, Snake has finally been, I think.
Did you play
knock
the
on
game?
Wood. No, I'm not talking about, like...
The game, the...
Yeah, I'm just talking about game-wise.
Oh, okay.
Like, man,
you know what's
going to
happen, right?
Done.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to play the first level of Rising as Raiden, and then you're going to play the rest of it as Snake.
That thought crossed my mind.
That would actually be a joke that I could... I'd be like, you motherfucker. That's actually pretty funny. Yeah, I could play... Dude, if I can do even half of the shit that he did in 4, mm-hmm. like, that sounds like a really great game.
If I were just going to speculate about the game, based on what happens at the end of 4 with Raiden, I'd say this probably takes place...
It's got to take place before.
Yeah, before 4.
Yeah, because they pulled out all the parts that made him cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it turned him back into a ladyboy.
All the parts that would make you want to play a riding game.
Yeah.
We saw footage of Halo ODST.
Which, that footage looked really great.
I liked it.
I mean, okay, that footage just, it looked great. Mm-hmm. That looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to play. But I'm still...
I even like the storytelling aspect.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Everything that they showed looked great. I'm just clinched a little bit over their insistence at, like, this is its value. This is its price because of all of these things make it worth this price. And really, the only thing I care about is the co-oping that campaign mm-hmm. with my friends. That's all I care about. All this extra added stuff of, like, its various multiplayer aspects and its maps that it's going to add and all these other things, in a very holistic sense, makes it, yes, worth a full price. But you sound... I mean, they've been pretty clear that they're compensating for what is going to be... A really, really short campaign.
What game are we talking about?
ODST.
Oh, okay.
Not like, Reach.
No, not Reach. And I don't know about that. Like, you know, playing a little bit of the multiplayer of Halo 3, but then like going through the entire thing on like two separate times with everybody. That was really fun for me. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun going through that with you guys. Like, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was good.
Especially once one person got the skulls.
Yeah, and it made it worth the money for me. But if ODST is going to be that, but 5 hours, well, I don't care about the however many different maps because I don't play Halo 3 multiplayer, and so that you know that.
Yeah.
I can't buy that. I don't think.
Gamefly.
Yeah.
All
right. As long as they don't have a flood level.
So explain, like, ODST and Reach to me, because I have this thing where I
where you've ignored it?
I tune out every time I hear Halo. I mean, I was like, what are we talking about? I don't know why I do it, but, like...
ODST is...
I mean, I enjoyed 3 enough. It's just...
All right, did you play 2?
No.
Okay.
3 was the only one I played.
All right, here's
the
thing.
And that's only because you guys were playing it.
Yeah, well...
And I only played... Well, I mean, I played 1 because of whatever, and then 2 and all that other stuff. There's a point in 2. Mm-hmm. It was a major point when you're in... the city of New Mombasa. It's in, where is it at in Africa? It's in one of the, I don't know where it is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what like nation state or anything it's part of, but if any at all. And that's, I'm not deep enough in the fiction of that universe. But basically there's a point where Chief and all the principals in the storyline mm-hmm. are there's a covenant assault on New Mombasa. And it's all fucked up. And it's, man, the whole thing's just fucked up. You know? And what is it? The Prophet of Truth? Prophet of Truth, who's like, when he's whatever, he's a bad guy. He sits in a chair that floats. He's a really bad guy.
Yeah, that's Truth.
He has his ship, and he's above New Mombasa. He's looking for a thing, and he's there for a thing and whatever, and you don't know what it is. And you're in, like, your little pelican, and you... Basically, you get sucked along when he decides to dip out and does his faster-than-light travel thing. Kind of the way that... when the SDF-1 teleported, like, the whole island got sucked along at the beginning of Robotech. Like, that's sort of what happened. Okay. Only, like, not the whole city did, but it fucked the city big time when he did. They opened, like, the slipstream portal and zoom, his ship went away. Chief and everybody were sucked along, so the Chief's storyline goes off in that direction. And then, like, you finish Halo 2, and you come back to Earth for Halo 3 and everything like that, blah, blah, blah. After those events in Halo 2, mm-hmm. you know, meanwhile, back in New Mombasa, right after the Chief leaves, mm-hmm. Shit's still going down in New Mombasa. And you play one of the ODSTs. The ODSTs are the orbital drop shock troopers.
Okay.
They're not Spartans. They're like, they're the baddest of the bad who aren't super mutants wearing powered armor.
Okay.
You know, they're like the fucking Green Berets. They're like airborne rangers. You know, only in, like, drop pods. And you play one of those assholes who's, like, dropped into New Mombasa right after those events or contiguous with those events or something like that, right around that time. And you have to deal with some shit.
All right.
So you're not like a Spartan guy, which means the gameplay is going to be a bit different because you're not, like,
dual-wielding.
Going to be able to be as invincible. You're going to be a bit more stealthy. You're going to have silenced weapons. You're going to have more tools associated with
you're
how you do your
squishy.
Job. Yeah. And they also...
They're developing it.
It's Bungie.
It's Bungie.
But it does work. The idea is that it be fundamentally different. And I'm...
Did they get the memo that, like, they don't...
That they don't make Halo games anymore?
Yeah.
Nope.
Because they're making 2.
Yeah, because then it was like, oh, here's our new game announced from Bungie. And you're in my head, I'm thinking, Don't be Halo. Throw us for a loop here, because we're all expecting Halo. Don't do that. Halo. You know, it's like they took the milk from the cow and then somehow squeezed milk out of the milk. They were able to take that milk and milk it more. And
so they're doing Reach, which...
And that's also Bungie.
Yes.
Yeah, evidently.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Guys!
And not only is it them, and not only is it Halo, I mean, it's like, and this is, and we don't know shit about it. It was a little teaser, but like, Reach exists. I mean, you didn't play the first one, but basically at the beginning of the first game, beginning of the first Halo game, right? When you like, you pop out of like hyper warp slip space, whatever okay. the fuck you use in Halo. I don't know what the hell it is. And you pop out of the thing, and it's all fucked up, and it's like, holy shit, there's a ring, and the stuff's bad. Wake up the guy in the armor, you know? That's how the story starts in Halo. And you're like, well, this is very strange, and some guys are chasing us and whatever, yeah. and there's this ring.
You would just come.
And that's clearly very yeah. important, because things are fucked up, and there's a ring down there, and there's a guy in green suit, and ta-da! You know? You have Halo, who kills aliens and don't afraid of anything. So... Am I alone in that meme? God damn it, you gotta look that up. That shit's funny. Anyway, you're just running from Reach, which was the human stronghold and like the place where all the... A human stronghold and the place where all the Spartans were trained and a big imposing facility of, you know, human whatever, might and power and things that the Covenant just came in and pissed all over. All
right.
And there's a whole novel...
Called The Fall of Reach.
The Fall of Reach, which chronicles...
That whole thing.
That well, the development of the Spartans.
The development of the Spartans. But what was going on Reach at the time? What? Why the fuck were you running away? You know, yeah. why did you have to jump? Whatever. They call it slip space. Whatever.
They call it. I don't know. Clearly, I'm the wrong guy.
The reason why they had to, and a little bit of what was going on,
And why they were in such desperate. Like state at the beginning of Halo 1 and why there's really only like Master Chief, the one goddamn Spartan, because they all fucking got smeared all over the goddamn ground at Reach, because like there was a whole shitload of them, you know, they were like running around in herds mm-hmm. like as Spartans and stuff, so they all like whatever defended things, and you know, Master Chief used them as meat shields or whatever. You know, while he conveniently didn't do anything worth a shit, and everybody else saved the world, and he just sort of like looked gruff while Cortana hacked something, and whatever. I don't. Whatever.
So, apparently, again, though, this just like ODST. We were talking about this before the show. Everything they're doing with Halo is taking place in the past.
Yeah, they're, which feels like you're not doing real work. It's like, hey, did you guys realize some dude already wrote a whole book about this?
Yeah.
You don't really have to do anything.
I know
do
what happens at the end of your game.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, that's cool and all, but like Halo Wars, ODST, Reach, all three of these things refuse to advance the story. If you're going to revisit the old shit, please don't act like Resident Evil. Please don't do to me what they did and refuse to advance the story until you get to a point where the story is unadvanceable because it's too old and has been manipulated and massaged and pounded into an unrecognizable shape by all your side stories and retcons and reconnoitering of shit that nobody really cared about anymore. So that's I think that's what everybody's afraid. Like ODST, fine, okay, you're doing ODST, whatever. But either drop it or move forward.
Yeah.
You know.
Which, by the way, ODST now comes with access to the multiplayer beta of Halo Reach.
Yeah, so, and then they've kind of teased this notion that Reach will be more than your standard Halo, the imagery with like, you know, well now Spartans come in different shapes.
Yeah, it was
big like, Spartans, little Spartan, girl Spartan, sniper Spartan, skinny Spartan, fat Spartan.
It was like squat. Like,
I want to play the fat Spartan.
God, please!
Right. Well, at least the red versus blue guys can have some fun with that.
Right. You're really going to enjoy that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's squad-based Halo, where it's like you have... It's like TF2 Halo, where you've got your gunner, and, you know, here's your flamethrower guy.
Yeah,
because
they had, like, these little silhouettes of, like, five or six different Spartans.
Your munitions guy. And
it was, like, explosive girl guy. Spartan and heavy Spartan and sniper Spartan and, like... I mean, that's clearly what they were trying to demonstrate, even though that's complete, you know. I'm not even a Halo lore nerd, and I know that that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
The way that it was written out, is it like, you know.
I think I saw an Arbiter.
Well, I was just mean like the Spartans were all sort of much of a muchness with each other, and they were all like, you know. They even pointed out sometimes like you couldn't necessarily tell the girl Spartans from the boy Spartans because they were all like superhuman, you know, 7 foot tall. Like
yeah, in the books you can't. In the books like, they made it very clear they're like only by names and not when they're using.
Well, in some of the comics and stuff too, because they did, you know, there was some comic stuff that handled female Spartan stuff, and they weren't like. You know,
it wasn't like
shapely the, anime Spartans.
Yeah,
or
it wasn't
anything.
Like they the Soul Calibur Spartan that they put in there.
No. It was like, you know, whatever. It's battle armor, man. It's not like for sexy time. So I don't know, but there it is. It's like, okay, you're doing this now. Okay, what? So I don't know. You know what? I didn't hate. God damn it! It was really strange for me too. Cliffy B got on stage.
Oh yeah,
and I didn't hate him.
And Cliffy B coming, especially from you, are
it's not. And I know it's not directly a Cliffy B thing, which is why he wasn't able to like muster up his normal unlikableness. But like he got on stage and he talked about a thing, and I did not dislike him during that time, largely because of the coolness of the thing I was looking at.
What was that?
The Shadow Complex.
Shadow Complex, yeah.
You see that shit?
Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, come on. You gotta look at some Shadow Complex. The shit looks really good. All right. Metroid. But not Metroid. Metroid kind of with, like, some Contra. But it's 3D, but it's 2D. Because it's like Metroid.
Okay.
Right. Just look it up.
Remember the Bionic Commando update they redid?
Yeah.
It has a bit of a feel of that, although you can jump.
It's like it's all side-scrolling, and the map architecture is Metroid. Like that's no bullshit. Like the way they show the map, it's like this giant military complex. Like it's all underground, and there's like lots of caves and lots of secrets and lots of alternate paths, and it is fucking Metroid, rendered using. The Unreal tech, rendered using a 3D engine, but all the gameplay is on a 2D plane. And there's like a lot of like really, I was like, okay, well that's really cool. And then they showed like a lot of how the various rooms and corridors and points of access and everything are interconnected.
Well, that sounds
and
really
suddenly,
exciting.
Suddenly it became a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
When I looked at. Find some fucking video or something because I'm
tweeting, just, man, what the hell?
Okay, go, you tweet. I'll maybe look for some video because I saw it and I was like, oh, well, that's not. No, I heard about it and I was like, well, that sounds weird, but whatever, I'll take a look at it. And I was like, oh, all right, well, I'm spending another 1600 Microsoft points, so or whatever they charge for. But it looks like, that's not like coming this winter or anything. That's like
summer.
Coming this summer.
Yeah.
That's like, hey, you get this in like six weeks.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I was like...
Like they're doing their Summer of Arcade, which I think...
Cliffy B, I think we just made up.
Yeah.
What was it called? Shadow Complex?
Shadow Complex.
Yeah, Shadow Complex.
Look up the video and take a look at
shit. While you're looking that up, I want to digress a little bit because Scott reminded me when he said Bionic Commando. I played some Bionic Commando.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm really glad Infamous came out when it did. Otherwise, I would probably still be screaming at the TV and throwing my controller. Because, goddamn, the platforming, the swinging was... I loved it. It was so much fun to swing to shit and grab shit. But the combination of how punishing death was with how frequently it came was just absurd. You swing onto and grab onto a building that you think you should, and oh, it's radiation. You don't have time to look to grab something else. You're dead. Go back here, lose all your collectibles, fight all those guys again.
Yeah.
Fuck you, it's 1985 again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I was having so much fun with the swinging that I kept, like, and I liked the environment, you know, the setting.
Yeah.
That I kept, like, at it. And then I popped an Infamous, and I was like, oh, fuck that other game. That's going back.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
We got a Twitter just specifically for you, Jeremy.
Oh, no, wow, for me?
From Ravenlock. Asked Jeremy if he got to the title defense mode and had Glass Joe kick his ass.
So, oh, wow. Thanks for the spoiler, guy.
No, well, apparently title defense mode, very tough.
Okay. Now, I got to the champ. I got to Mr. Sandman. And I was kind of pissed off that the champ was Mr. Sandman because I didn't recognize his silhouette, which means the only new guy I fought was Disco Kid, which was the most enjoyable fight in the game as far as I'm concerned.
Now, but unless there's title new defense
guys.
Mode.
Disco Stu.
Are there new guys in title defense?
I think there's one other new guy in title defense mode.
Because Mr. Sandman is whooping my ass, like, bad. I don't know how long it would take me to beat him. If there's new guys waiting for me in title defense, I'll tough it out. But if it's just, like, a bunch of hard shit, man... I don't necessarily play punch out to play a bunch of hard shit and get my ass beat. Yeah. You know.
I mean, the fact alone that Glass Joe could beat you at all.
Yeah. I mostly play it to beat up guys like Glass Joe and have fun. Not the other way around. Yeah. Although I did play the Versus with Dennis last night, and it's horribly flawed, but it was a lot of fun to mess around with. If you dodge the other guy, like, turns blue, and if you hit him, it, like, fills up this meter. When it gets all the way, you turn into this, like, big, mega, brute boxer guy, and it goes instead of split screen to single screen, and you're controlling him from the other side and, like, doing, like, some of the kind of moves that the bad guys would do. And you can keep, like, refilling your meter so you don't get too low on it. But if he knocks it all out of you, you go back to little guy. It's fun enough. I won't do it too much, but it was kind of neat. Whatever.
He has some Hulk smash mode or something.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, I'm done with that.
Okay. Did anybody find the video?
Yeah, I watched Shadow Defense. Really nice.
Complex.
What?
Yeah. Oh, Shadow Complex.
Shadow Defense.
No, it reminded me a little bit of Bionic Commando, too, with a little bionic arm that he was grabbing with. But, yeah, really nice.
Wow. Good. Since you're so good at sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you guys were talking, so...
I'll get a old game trailers.
Oh, he's actually playing it now. He had it pulled up.
Well, you know what I think you'll like? If you like the swinging in Bionic Commando, I think you're going to love Just Cause 2.
Just Cause 2?
Really? I know. I said the
Man, same I heard a, thing. I heard a thing or two about that.
I said the same thing when I found out Eidos was showing it behind closed doors. I'm like, okay, wait a second. Just Cause 2, a sequel to a game that I don't remember doing very well to begin with, and that I didn't really have much interest in at all. You got a sequel. It's here at A3, but it's not on the floor. You got it behind closed doors. It's that special. I got to figure out what the hell you got back there. So I scheduled an appointment, got back there and saw it. However, luckily for everybody else, and I wish more companies would do this, the entire demo that we saw behind closed doors is now on the internet. You can watch it. And in fact, it's on the front page of COG. You can watch it. The entire demo, and it's good. It's really, really good.
I think that almost everybody has had the really Just Cause.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, like, the first one wasn't like horrible or anything. I didn't play much of it, but I was like, well, this is okay. I don't really want to play it that much. And then it's like Just Cause 2, Just Cause 2, yeah. Just Cause 2, and I'm like, why? Like, real? Why are I didn't get it. I didn't get the talk. And so I've watched the video, but I've read several accounts. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I will trust these accounts.
It's very oh fuck, I gotta talk about that too. Just Cause 2, very over the top. In my write up on this, it's like, I love it when game developers find the fun in their game, and for the sequel, they focus on that. They throw out the realism, they throw out whatever. Sure, you have an infinite amount of grappling hooks. It's always tied to your arm. You can be God knows how many hundred feet away from your object, latch onto it, and in a straight line zip to it. You know? No momentum necessary. You can base jump and wait until you're about 100 feet from the ground, throw your parachute, no recoil, no momentum, you're safe. And you can glide from there. That's fine. Because if I don't have to think about those things, I'm going to have a lot more fun. Yeah. With your game. There was this one where we're doing a chase scene on a bridge. I think there may be some footage of that. He's doing the whole car surfing. It's kind of like that level. So he's being chased by all these Humvees and these guys shooting at him. So he grapples one of the guys who's shooting at him. Mm-hmm. And then he does a double grapple and attaches the other end of it to, like, a stationary structure. So he's still, like, shooting him. All of a sudden, the guy's like, ah! He gets dragged out of there. You can do that to these guys. You can grapple a guy, and then you can latch him onto the back of your car and just drag him. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It works. You can do that to cars. You can grapple a car, then tie it to a structure, and it just yanks the car back. Stop. Yeah. I was like, this is wonderful. I
60 want to zero in no time flat.
Actually, I pulled up the actual press conference stuff. He's using, like, he's got, like, this little, like, gelification, like, this gun that shoots out, like, this crazy foam gel stuff and hardens. And, like, can either be used to disable enemies or be used as a platform. To jump on and reach other areas. So he's, like, using it, like, to hit those guys.
I think it's cool that they're using the Unreal Engine for that, because I remember seeing a mod for Unreal Tournament 3 where it basically turned it into, like, a 2D platformer.
Yeah. And it has been done in a couple of times. We used to make, I think, a couple fighting games as well.
Yeah.
Or a fighting game or something like that. And so, it still uses the depth of the environment a little bit.
I like that.
Especially
a lot.
Yeah, it's very compelling. You look at it and you're like...
See, when we were talking about Castlevania earlier?
Yeah.
That's where
there you
I
go.
Want to see a Castlevania. Yeah. Oh, well, hey, there it is. All right. Yep.
The
2D,
3D, you know. Yeah.
You know. Sort of what I imagined games would look like 15 years ago.
Yes. But yeah, we're supposedly going to see this this summer.
Yeah, they're doing their Summer of Arcade again.
20 years ago.
Later this month, it starts. We'll get Explosion Man out of that, and we'll get Shadow Complex at the end of it.
Cool.
From what I understand.
Which is a hell of a thing for the arcade.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Good stuff. Mm. But yeah, Just Cause 2, check it out. There's, like I said, that entire video demo is now one you can watch. Something I wish that more companies would do, especially for Borderlands, so you could see that. I did... see Randy. I did say, hey, a guy from our show really wants you to do the gun thing. He's like, well, we don't have that set up here, but I like the gun thing too, so. He's not listening.
No. Well, I'm hoping an Xbox Live arcade game comes out next. I'm hoping next month will be the Monkey Island special edition.
I don't know when that one's due. You're right.
I know
maybe that's also in the pipeline.
Tales of Monkey Island, the first episode will be next month on the 7th, and I've already pre-ordered that.
Now, that's only on the Wii, though, right?
And PC. I'm downloading it from PC.
WiiWare and PC.
But I'm hoping because the Secret Monkey Island Special Edition, that'll also be on the Xbox, but also on the PC.
Right,
and that's
right.
What I'll get it on, is my computer.
It's pretty much done, from what I can see.
The video that I saw at LucasArts website, you know, was really neat.
Yeah.
And like we talked earlier about how you could just, at the push of a button, you go from the new game to the original Scum engine. I thought it was a fantastic touch.
Yeah, if you want to play that whole thing just like you did.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Go right ahead. You have that option available.
And it looks so seamless the way it would go back.
Because I never played the first one, so
I never did either.
Yeah.
It was good.
I didn't play the first one either.
I never beat the fourth.
I beat the fourth.
Escape? Yeah. I need to. I never did. I need to go back and play that one.
Well, shit, now I feel like an asshole.
Why is that?
Because apparently Forza's trailer took, like, the guys, like, a month to put together. I feel like a total dick. Because the whole point was that it was using the, you know, the editor, which I understand. I just didn't care.
Our dancing cars, that took us 4 months.
No, it just took them 1 month.
Oh.
A month to do your... Yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. Your dancing cars are great. You should just show me fucking gameplay, though. That's all I really want. You know, from my video games. I'm just saying.
What next?
What else did you have? Come on, tell me.
I don't know. I saw Batman Arkham Asylum. Looks great.
Whatever. Who cares? It's got, yeah, August 25th. Great.
Okay.
Thanks. Another $65.99.
I saw Split Second. I love that.
Really?
I
have no opinion.
I know. What else?
They showed the same Trico trailer again, except now it has a name.
No, they didn't. It wasn't exactly the same. There was more footage.
There was a little bit more footage.
It was touched up significantly.
It was, yeah. If you look at the comparison.
I couldn't tell on my, like, really static, cable, like, G4. Because, like, that cable's run a long way from the building to my trailer. And, like, sometimes it's not even in color. It's very static.
Nice.
So.
Now, as soon as I saw the kid, running, I was like, that's a different looking kid. They've added some tattoos on his arms, and it just...
I want to clarify, I don't live in a trailer. I work in one.
That's right.
Not that I haven't lived in a trailer.
Right.
What's the...
Alabama. What's I've lived here for a while.
What's the name?
Of what?
The new Trico.
Oh, Last Guardian.
Okay.
That's the name they gave
it. Man, and fuck them. Seriously. Like, because we all know. We all know what's going on with, like, the big, you know, cat-dog thing. Like,
yeah.
It's your buddy. It's going to help you out. You bond to it. And they're going to fucking kill it. They're going to take it away from you.
Not necessarily. And they may not kill only, the kid.
No.
They could kill the kid.
I don't buy that.
Leaving the last guardian.
Who would care?
With no... Yeah.
Someone's going to die.
I'd be like...
I'm the kid. The kid won't die. If I die, the game's over. If you reward me with a game over by killing me, that doesn't make any sense.
What if you have to do something to sacrifice yourself in order to keep it alive?
Great. I'll do that. I'll be happy
with
that.
Exactly.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But at the same time...
it's the last guard. It's the last fucking one.
Yeah.
That's going to make it that much more tragic.
Did you see the one with the where the Sean Connery's the dragon and then the guy is the other guy? And then it dies?
Braveheart?
It's already been done. I've already seen it.
What?
Huh? Braveheart. Oh, Dragonheart. That
Braveheart?
I knew there's a heart in there somewhere. That's what, crap.
That's what I thought. It was Brave. No. Dragonheart.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do to you. He's the last one. Let me tell you about how I'm the last of this thing for the whole movie.
Of this beautiful, wonderful thing.
And try to imagine me not dying at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what they're going to do.
It looks fantastic, though. Which is funny, though, because I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, this looks good. I thought the other one looked like crap. I was like, man, if it came out looking like it already did in that leaked trailer, I'd already be there.
Yeah.
I'd have bought it.
I was okay.
It's like,
I was okay with that. No problem. No problem at all. Showed us footage of Mag in action, which I can tell you, last year I didn't expect to see Mag on the stage this year.
Yeah.
Being 256 players playing. I did not expect whatsoever.
That's Mag. Damn it, man.
Because when that's crazy. When that announced last year, I just chuckled and I said, sure, we'll see that whenever. A year later, it's like, okay, we've got this thing running. 256 people playing. Here they all are. Bunch of fucking heads. And going through it.
Yeah, bring it on.
I was like, damn, all right, well, fine. You know.
It's been a minute since we did anything that big.
It's true. It's really, really true.
Showed Uncharted 2, obviously. That's looking...
That trailer was fucking
fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic. Well, I was talking about the gameplay, but yeah. And then I saw the trailer later.
I guess I have to sidestep and be like, in that case, trailer's fine. Because that shit was really funny. I mean, and I was really, really happy at the inclusion of
Elena. I know.
Elena.
We get our guys back.
Well, Selena, because it looked like they were... It was so clear that they had replaced her.
Yeah.
You know, with somebody else. Someone who I like, but that they had replaced her with another character. And I'm like, everybody does that. Why does everybody do that? I don't know why they do that. And then in the trailer where I heard her voice, I was like, is this like a flashback? Back? It's like,
I was hoping it wasn't.
And then, you know, I hear Claudia Black saying, I sent some history here or something like that. You know, Elena Fisher, last year's model. I was like, fucking brilliant. Really well played. Really, really well played.
Awesome.
You had me sort of anxious about the whole thing for like months now. Yeah. So, well done. I know it's just like the inclusion of a character and everything, but they had clearly wanted us to believe that she was gone.
And we finally saw Assassin's Creed 2 gameplay.
Yeah.
Finally saw some of that.
I hadn't even bothered to look up any video of that.
I liked it. I liked what I saw.
I don't necessarily want to minimize anything, but I... Look, man.
Is that just one of those things you're going to play when it comes out?
Yeah, look,
anyway,
I don't,
so,
like...
Whatever.
I'm all about some twos this year. Like, there's a lot of shit out there that I really just have already said, yeah, man, like, Assassin's Creed 2, Uncharted 2, Mass Effect 2, Modern Warfare 2, like, Bad Company 2, yes. Like, those are all things whose development I've seen enough of to know that I trust what they're doing to evolve the gameplay and to make this, like, yeah. So, yes, you saw some video for Assassin's Creed 2. Cool. I'm still buying it.
Yeah.
I was buying it already, so...
Well, it was weird because we're at the Ubisoft conference, and 45 minutes in, they still haven't shown any game footage whatsoever. And then we get close to the end of the conference, and I'm like, fuck, where's Assassin's Creed? This is your shit, man. You should be showing it. So they show us, and I'm thinking, all right, gameplay trailer, or not gameplay trailer, but they're going to come out and do a live demo on stage. They didn't even do that. They showed a trailer. That was a new trailer, and apparently it's got a new ability on his hand there. I don't know if it's a gun or if it just fires the blade. They weren't very clear on that.
Like I said, very staticky. I saw him shoot the dude with something. I assumed it was a gun.
He just
kind of
like clicked and it was like bang. And I think it shot the blade. Honestly, I think it shot the blade.
It might have been. Yeah.
And then they stopped. It was good. The fuck's my? You're got a giant ass poster out there.
Yeah.
You got to set it up for him though if he didn't see it, because. They do this bit where he goes in, sneaks in, and, like, cuts a guy's throat in the middle of a ball. And, like, everybody, you know, is like, what's wrong? And, like, they see the blood coming from his neck. And they see dude, like, you know, book out. And so they go out, and the big guy who, like, appears to be in charge of everything, like, you can see, like, his gears turn. He's going to set a trap. And he, like, tells his guards, like, you stay over here. You stay out of sight. And he, like, goes out there, and he starts taunting. I can't remember his name, the not Altair.
Ezio, something like that. Ezio Auditore Deferens.
Start saying stuff about
Open that shit, aren't you?
About, like, you know, he starts saying stuff about his dad and his mom and all that. And apparently there's like a history there, something about his mom.
He told him a your mama joke?
Yeah, basically. And to really get him enraged, to get him to come attack, and like. The guy, like, starts to take a step forward, but then, like, you can see, like, the gears turning in your head, like, no, he wouldn't just come out here and, like, taunt me to come over there and whoop his ass, because he knows that, like,
I would whip his ass.
So, like, your guy just, like, stops and stands there. And the guy, like, continues to taunt him for a minute, and then he just, like, points at him and, like, reaches out and does the thing, and it's like, bam! And, like, the guy falls over dead. And he takes off. Like, that's great!
Nice.
I love it!
Yeah. Then Sony gives us our gameplay, our live gameplay demo, where we see him use the flying machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Use the dual blade action.
And, of course, the swimming.
Swimming was in there, too. You're exactly right. They showed us one of the assassinations that you had to do, and how those take place now. I really love the transition from... Remember every time you kill a guy, the screen would turn blue, and then you'd have that conversation there?
Yeah, you go off into, like, the white place. And
yeah.
It's like the guy who's, like, you know, throat I just tore open sits there and talks to me for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
While all those guards wait patiently at the side.
Now, the transition here is great because the city kind of dissolves or just kind of...
Digitizes?
No. It's like...
Dissolves is actually pretty good word.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
To borrow a page from Tron?
Yeah.
It's that whole sense. In other words, when you come out of that, the city rebuilds itself. So when you go into it, obviously it deconstructs itself.
It debuilds itself. Yeah, it unbuilds itself.
It unbuilds itself.
It anti-builds the city.
Yeah, a very good. Great. And then you show him. And then it shows him doing his escape, jumping into the water, and you know that sort of thing. Yeah, looking forward to it. Obviously, you don't really need to see any of this stuff. You're going to be there day one, so. Are there any other surprises or anything else? Crimecraft sucked. I didn't get to see APB, but Crimecraft was horrible. What else did I see?
You have an appointment with the Huxley guys?
I was going to bring that up when he mentioned Unreal Tournament 3.
What happened with that?
That's what it looks like, Unreal Tournament 3.
Really?
Huxley, yeah. It's free to play, free to buy. It's microtransaction now. And it is exactly like Unreal Tournament. Exactly. Like
I thought it was an MMO.
Is it an FPS MMO? Is that what they're touting it as?
Yeah, that's what they've been saying for years. Like, basically, Planet Side.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Well, all right.
It looks exactly like Unreal. The action's fast. The maps are small.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a map. There's no exploration. There's nothing like that. You know, you and a bunch of other people shooting at each other. That's it. Round over. Great. What did I come away with? You know, some experience points, and then I can upgrade my guy and then go back in and do more of this. Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly
I never really
what it
believed
is.
In it in the first place, but it was always just kind of out there. So when it popped up again, I was surprised.
I think it was one. I think it was one thing way back when. I think it was supposed to be something pretty special way back.
It was. It was an FPS MMO.
Then it switched hands.
Did it?
Yeah, it switched hands into either. I don't know if it switched hands to dev wise or publisher wise, but it's got a fucked up history. What are you looking at? Distracting me now. What are you looking at?
Sorry, Tron 2. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just Rickroll yourself?
No, don't worry about it.
So yeah, that's what Huxley was. I did have an appointment with them. IL-2 Sturmovik looks really good. That was a really good surprise.
What was that?
The console Sturmovik.
Yeah.
Kevin and I used to play that a lot. Okay. Flight Sim.
Oh, okay.
World War II Flight Sim.
Oh, IL-2?
Yeah. IL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always call it IL.
IL-2 okay. Sturmovik. Birds of Prey. It's console only. Actually, fuck, it's all over the place. PSP, DS, PS3, and 360.
Everywhere that a flight sim belongs. No, wait. Shit.
Exactly. Yeah, it's got arcade mode and it's got sim mode. And sim mode, obviously, is... You're much better tailored on the... You know what? I didn't even... I should have asked them if it would work with the...
Ace Combat Flight Stick.
Or the other one. The Logitech Stick.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about asking.
They damn well should.
I'm sure it will, because these guys are really, you know, they're devoted to what they do. I'm surprised they haven't made their own stick.
I'm all about it. I'm not going to condescend. Like, I don't want to do that, just because, like, I could talk about, you know, how flight sims are clearly the domain of the PC, but whatever. They're not exactly flourishing there either. So if they want to go and make something sim-like on the console, I mean, that's great. They may as well do something with it. So, I mean, that shit was hard on the PC. Like, Kevin and I played that shit, like, full-on sim, and we would spend hours just, like, me trying to take off.
Yeah.
Without, like, you know, rolling over due to my engine torque or, you know... getting my ass chewed off by somebody else within the first 5 minutes of our sortie. You know, it's like, it's tough stuff. That's only fun if you really hate yourself. Like learning how to do a flight sim like that. So.
Yeah, but it's
all the better that they put that on the console.
God, it was beautiful. Loved what I saw of that game. And it comes out in October, I think. Pretty soon, so. In the same fucking... months that we're going to have just everything else in the world.
Do we have any? Out there. What the hell is going on with when stuff's coming out? Because I really paid attention. There's a lot of stuff in October, isn't there?
There's a lot of stuff in October. There's Brutal
what's the Legends first? What's October. The first like? Oh, fucking Brutal Legend. God. Why did it have to look so interesting?
Yeah.
What's like the first? What's the first thing with the two? When's the first thing with the two come out?
Is it BioShock 2?
Is it BioShock 2?
Probably
October 5th, right?
Probably going to be BioShock 2.
It's like October 5th. For some reason I know that.
See, yeah.
Shit, that's not very far away.
No. Yeah,
really?
It's not very far away. Not when you've got... Well, you got Ghostbusters this month.
Next week.
Next week. Not when you got Batman hitting up in August.
Yeah.
Which I know you're going to play. You're going to fucking love that. God,
I know.
When he runs with his
don't tell me.
Shit.
Don't tell
damn
me what
it.
I'll like.
That's the dad. That works.
He's Batman. God damn it!
Well, I talked to the devs. I was like, "You guys got all these people from the animated series. I mean, you know that, don't you? You see what you're doing here to us. You're throwing this in there. We're really worried about the gameplay because you've gotten everything else right. Hey
it's my cell phone.
Cell phone. Hello. It's like you got everything.
Hold on,
else.
We're gonna listen to my cell phone for a second. Man, fuck you guys.
That worked.
Yeah, it was working.
Yeah. So I told him about that, and it's like, yeah, the entire dev team, that's what we were aiming for. We all grew up watching Batman the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. And so we knew when we made this game that we wanted it to be like that. But not...
So stylized.
Yeah, not stylized like that. Not as we kind of wanted it to grow up with us.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
And to be in our game. So yeah, that's the reason you've got these voices. That's the reason we got this writer.
I'd be I'd be happy to finally have a good Batman game.
You're gonna get one. Very good. Just the little bit of level that I played was really good, really fun.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was, you know, on the way back from Pensacola yesterday. I was listening to one of our old podcasts where we talked about demos, like for Half-Life and stuff in Star Lancer that are different. I would think a great way to demo Batman Arkham Asylum would be like having like a whole lead up into Arkham. And then, you know, like the beginning of that whole story would be like the demo, and then you start the game off in Arkham Asylum.
Oh, man, I'm always for that. I love that. I like stuff like that a lot.
Well, that would be then capturing the Joker.
Yeah.
Would be your.
I think that would be a great demo.
That's exactly how the thing opens. The entire opening cinematic is you driving Joker to Arkham after capturing him. And then, of course, he sets the trap for you. So. Yeah, there's other characters they haven't released because I asked about a couple that we mentioned, like Penguin and a couple of others that we had seen. It's like, we haven't released any information on those yet.
Okay.
And you were like, yeah, I know, that's why I asked about him.
I was trying to get some info out of him, but he's...
Hey, you know, they got a timetable.
His last one that was released, was it Bane or...
The last one was Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy.
Yeah, it was right. Yeah, it was Poison Ivy. Okay,
did they say Mr. Freeze is going to be in it?
Okay, yeah.
Not yet.
Ivy. Nope. Mm-hmm. They had four pictures up there. Obviously, we knew Joker's in it. They had Croc.
Yeah.
Who, Croc, by the way, I saw Croc. He's not Croc from the animated series.
Oh, he's not?
He's not Croc from there. He's just a big growly monster. That's it. He doesn't speak.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah.
Really? Because on IMDb, it has Clancy Brown as his voice.
Well, somebody has to go, grawr, you know? That shit doesn't just come out on its own.
Yeah, but you wouldn't think you'd have him doing it.
Frank Welker has made a career out of doing shit like that.
That's absolutely true. That's true.
Yeah, but Croc is not the Croc that's from the animated series. But then again, neither is Harley Quinn, the Harley Quinn from the animated series, I guess you could say. So it's a little bit different. Yeah, but
a few changes.
Croc, Ivy, Harley Quinn, and...
Bane.
And Bane. Those were the four that they had, like, big-ass posters of that you could see. And that was it. They didn't go into any other stuff. Joker is only limited to the challenge rooms. He doesn't get his own shit. He's just challenge rooms. That's what he gets to play. Six challenge rooms for combat, six challenge rooms for stealth is what you'll get in the game. And they have the special edition sitting out there. Batarang looks really cool.
Yeah, I saw your picture.
Yeah. I was like, I gotta focus on this. I gotta really make sure these pictures I take show off if this thing is like a piece of plastic. What the fuck?
You know what I miss
this?
All of a sudden? I miss Game Genies and Game Sharks because, you know, good and damn well, if this were back then, somebody would have the Joker playable in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Since, you know, it's in there.
That's a nice thought.
Let's see. Just Cause 2, I mentioned. What else did I play? Trying to go over it.
I will say that
Jumpgate.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that you saw that.
I looked at Jumpgate, but didn't that get pushed back? Didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
God damn it! Like, I got a new video card to put in this PC for two reasons: Champions Online and Jumpgate were both coming out this month.
Yep.
Now they're not. Would have done better just, you know, saving up.
Now it's undetermined on when those things will be released.
Which is, that's the way it should be.
Ugh.
It needs, if they need to work, they need to work.
Yeah, if they do, you know? They do. But God damn it, man. I was ready.
Why do they have to need to
Clearly work? They weren't ready.
Yeah.
But they could have decided that, like, I don't know, just a few weeks before, you know.
You bought yourself.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, sorry, man. Hopefully it'll be all the better when it actually shows up.
Yeah, I hope so.
I got to take a look at Aliens vs. Predator.
Great. How's that look?
It looks great. It looked great. They only showed the demo that I was shown was only the marine side of things.
Makes sense.
The floor show had the Predator side of things, which I didn't get to check out much because it was always crowded. But the floor show had the Predator side of things. They haven't shown anything on the Alien side of things.
See, that's the one I'm most interested in. That's what I like to play as.
But yeah, you can play. You'll be able to play this game three different times: Marines, Predators, and then Aliens.
Kind of like the first one.
I guess so. I never played the first one, but yeah.
Yeah, they had three different campaigns.
Did the first one have multiplayer?
Yes.
That was all we really we as a collective really.
Yeah, because I asked them, I was like, you got multiplayer, you got any details? And they're like, no, we can't give you any details on our multiplayer right now.
Oh, yeah, first one.
I got that a lot when I was asking about those types of things.
Yeah.
What about your multiplayer? We can't go into it right now. Although the one place that I didn't really give two shits about your multiplayer, that's the only thing they showed me, BioShock.
Tell me about the story. Oh, here's the multiplayer.
I thought they went over the story with us. They're like, okay, this story takes place. But here we want to focus on the multiplayer side of things. So we want to show you the multiplayer of BioShock 2. I don't see that. Actually, I was curious to see it. It's like, okay, let me show me what you've done. And then they showed me, and I was like, that's boring. I want to do this. Show me your single-player stuff. And then that wasn't happening there. Mafia 2 looks really nice. I loved Mafia 2.
Hmm.
Mafia 2, I was like, give me more of that shit. That was good. It starts off... It interested me more than any of these like, gang games have, like Godfather and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It interested me a lot more than any of that sort of did. It started off your main character, it takes place over 10 years, mid-1945 to 1955, I think is the span of it. And we started in 1945 with the character who was on a mission. Him and two other guys, one of the AI guys being kind of the leader of that group, you're kind of just side guy, working your way up. You're going out to take out the fat man or whatever. You arrive where he's supposed to be, you set up your little trap, he gets away, you kind of corner him, and then, like, this really cool cutscene plays. The voice acting was great. Loved the voice acting, and the storytelling was great. Because it gets shot, and then you got to get away, and all this other stuff. Whatever you've done, you've wrapped me up.
Okay.
In this 10-minute demo, you've, like, I got to find out what happens next. And it was so good in that way. I didn't care what happened next in the Just Cause 2 demo, even though they did leave it on a cliffhanger. I didn't give two shits. I was like, that looks fun. I want to play. I don't care what happens in your story, but I do want to do some of the things that you're doing. So I was really interested in that. But, I don't know, I guess that about covers pretty much what I've gone over and what we've seen.
Well, that's all right. It's okay that it does.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. That I can think of.
Good job.
So, to the Twitter tweets. We got a few while we were doing the show. Kyrie asked us, maybe you've talked about this, but what are your all-time favorite game reveals and or trailers?
Huh.
Did you see Just Cause 2? And we just talked about that. But yeah, what were our all-time favorite game reveals and or trailers? My game reveal, Crackdown 2. My trailer...
All-time? All-time?
I think he's talking about E3.
Oh,
that's
all
not what all time means.
Yeah.
I'd mentioned we're talking about E3, and then they replied.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I think it was linked. But all time shit, I don't know.
Yeah.
You'd have to give me a little while on that.
I'd have to, you know, exercise my neurons a little bit on that one.
Oof.
I have a hard time remembering the hype. As compared to the actual experience,
well, then, for the moment, let's just let's single
all
it
right.
to E3 then.
All right.
This year's E3. What was my favorite reveal? Was the Crackdown, Crackdown 2. Favorite trailer was probably Conviction. So,
out of the trailers I saw, which admittedly isn't many, Alan Wake. That one.
Good job.
That's good. Thank you for bringing that up. That's good.
He wasn't gonna bring up that, you know, we forgot to talk about Alan Wake
Dude,
or anything.
When I was sitting there, when I was sitting there, they were talking about Alan Wake. I didn't tweet that, like, oh, here comes Alan Wake. I tweeted, fuck, it's Sam Lake.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I was like, it's Sam Lake.
Yeah, we were watching that.
That dude's
like,
tall.
Dana and I were watching that together, and I'm like, oh my god, I love this guy.
Yes.
It's Max Payne.
Yeah,
totally. I looked at that screen when he was up there. I was like, ah, look, I see it.
Yep.
I see it.
You got like the stylish
it's been
hair.
It's some years, but I see
make
it.
Make the poopy face.
Yeah. Pull your hair back
Do
and make
it.
Face. Come on. Good shit.
Totally forgot about that. Well, yeah. That's bad. Shouldn't have forgotten sure. about that.
You're used to forgetting about it at this
yeah,
point.
Yes.
What did you think? First gameplay from what we've seen of Alan Wake.
Look great.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to try to pretend that I'm feeling like the moment because I think they're just kind of showing me some gameplay. Clearly, these guys are crafting something that I need to sit down and be a part of. From, you know, I'm not going to feel what they want me to feel just like jumping into a gameplay trailer. But it looked good. So, and it looked fun and innovative. So,
it was interesting what was going on with some of that slow mo they were showing off. Because like it just went into like slow motion there for a second, and it didn't seem like anything actually triggered it.
Yeah,
it seemed like it was a player controlled thing.
Huh.
That's what it looked like. It could have not been the case, but. But yeah, it looked really good. Yeah, so Alan Wake, forgot all about that. So that would be yours?
Yeah.
Reveal or... well,
the trailer. Reveal, I really liked the picture I saw of Max Payne from Max Payne 3, just because he looked like Jeff Bridges.
I didn't see anything of that.
I forget where I was looking, but I saw a picture of him, and he looked like Jeff Bridges from Iron Man. I mean, totally does. And I, for some reason, I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool. Because I haven't seen what he looked like yet.
There was no talk of Max Payne 3 over at E3. Like, on the show floor or anything like that, there was nothing going on with Max Payne 3. So I was really surprised about that. Huh. So I thought, damn, that's coming out pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah. Real soon.
Nothing. RJ, anything for you?
The only thing I was interested in was Bayonetta.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I missed my schedule there. I was supposed to... I saw Alpha Protocol, Aliens vs. Predator, and I was supposed to go into Bayonetta. But for whatever reason, Bayonetta stopped showing at 5 p.m. every day. It stopped at 5 p.m. And this was my closed-door session. I was supposed to go in with them. And I went in 4 o'clock, Alpha Protocol, 4:30, hit AVP. 5 o'clock, they're leaving. Sorry. And didn't get a chance to check that out. Did get a cool picture of the chick, though. If that does anything for you, that's about it.
I'll tell you what I can get at this point.
Jeremy?
I'm going to go with the 256 player demo of MAG.
Yeah?
That turned me on a little bit.
Why? Just because it's so massive or what?
Yeah, man.
Keep in mind, we've been there.
Yeah.
We've done something like that.
Come around.
Where did we do that?
Much.
We did it on the PC.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like so to see somebody else trying it, I don't have high hopes for it, but to see somebody else trying
very cautious. You know, I'm enthusiastic, but I'm very cautious because there's just like 101 ways it can go wrong. But just to see like it actually being done excites me. Even if it doesn't go right, that means that. Hey, we've done this on the console. We can do it again.
Yeah.
We can, you know, do it right if it's not done right.
So that's your reveal. What's your trailer?
I want to go with Last Guardian trailer, except that it came out a little bit before E3. But if I can lump that in there,
because
it was around E3 time.
Because this one was different. This one was a little bit different. It was touched up, definitely. It looks different. It's a different looking trailer, and there was some extra stuff added in there. It was like some interaction with the boy and whoever the enemies are. I don't really know yet, but whatever those things are. There was more of that shown as well in this trailer, so totally you could add that in there. James?
I actually know what my favorite announcement of all time was. The thing that got me the most excited. I actually remember it. And the game, while great, wasn't epic, but I remember the announcement. And it was for Jedi Outcast.
Hmm. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
How did the announcement go?
It was just the fact that it existed.
Oh, okay.
It was not a foregone conclusion that was a game that would ever get a sequel.
Yeah.
And it had been taken out of... The fact that the game was lifted out of LucasArts' hands and handed to Raven, and it was just like, you know...
It wasn't Dark Forces, you know, it was a whole new thing.
Yeah, it was like Jedi Knight, like, we're doing this thing right here. And I remember seeing it, like, I remember just seeing the graphic and everything that this was coming out, and I was just like, whoa!
I love the ad for that where it showed Kyle with his lightsaber against the wall, just scribbling, you know, you see the trail?
And it had
the JK symbol.
Yeah.
I love that.
I just remember that announcement and like, how much we liked Dark Forces 2, like, the first Jedi Knight. So the fact that they were doing Jedi Knight 2 when that was announced there was just no expectation that they would be doing another one. It wasn't like, gee, I wish they'd get around to announcing this. I had no idea. So that was a really, really big deal for me. So I was actually able to... Thankfully, you went around to the right.
Yeah.
And I was able actually to remember my favorite announcement.
I couldn't remember.
Of all time.
See, afterwards, I remember... I know my favorite trailer of all time. And it's a LucasArts. It's a Grim Fandango. The trailer for that, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
It fit good. The game. It's very film noir.
So. I don't know my overall trailer. I would have to agree with you that my favorite gameplay trailer... And it was kind of a demo, but whatever. I was really impressed by Conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked what I saw, and I thought it was... I wanted to be playing that.
You know what probably my favorite game trailer of all time was? Probably Metal Gear Solid 2.
Because
you remember seeing like all the like Snake Only stuff before we knew like what was going to happen to us, and like how excited you were to like
Would the game be the reveal?
Huh?
Would the game be the reveal that you're not playing a Snake?
No. We're talking about favorite things. Yeah, that was a good trailer. I you know, when I was thinking about how much I liked the first one, like the first Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Trailer.
Yeah.
I would watch that like over and over again. I was like, this just looks too crazy. Gameplay can't be this advanced. This is like from the future.
Man,
shit was cool.
That was a big trailer, MGS2. Remember they released that shit on DVD in Japan? The trailer got released on DVD. And like a buddy of mine and I went to E3, that was 2001.
Uh-huh.
And they interviewed both of us and his wife. And, like, his wife ended up, like, on the DVD, like, talking about like, her impressions of the thing. Of course, they're divorced now. So, like... But, yeah, we imported, like, the trailer of the DVD of the trailer because we were so excited about that shit, so... That was a big fucking trailer.
What about your reveal?
From E3?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Motion controls?
Possibly. I mean, and again, I don't really care about it. I really did like Sony's motion control stuff. I really did like that a lot.
It was probably some of the biggest news at E3, the most like game changing.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this was their time to announce, or you know, to tease their next console, or would have been if we were in that same life cycle. So I guess instead of doing that, it's like this is where we tease our next tech.
Mm-hmm.
Our next peripheral or whatever you want to call it. So that could have been it too.
But yay for no new consoles.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's see. Glitch wrote in or tweeted to us and said, I started a new Crackdown save to get all the orbs. I found a guide and just finished. I'm missing 9. Sad face. Yeah, that sucks.
I know how you feel, man. I'm missing 3.
On a similar vein, I got down to a little under 30 shards in Infamous, my first playthrough.
Yeah, you're going to have to get really, like, your mini-map doesn't cover enough
to
really be sure about that. They're not too difficult, though. They don't put them in, like, psychotic asshole places. Like, they really don't.
Like the bridge over some water or something like that.
Yeah, and there's a couple that are kind of out far into the water where you gotta, like, kind of bounce off on some stuff. You know, that could be tricky. But for the most part, they weren't, like... They didn't put them in places, like, in Crackdown where you could see the motherfucker and would spend, like, 2 hours trying to figure out how to get to it. And they didn't do that to you.
I noticed a couple of times they put, like, two, like, on really close to each other on, like, on the plane. Like,
oh, yeah, on a vertical plane.
So, I'd hit the sonar once, I'd grab it, and I'd move on. Then I'm like, oh, wait, there's another one over there, so.
Inevitably, I would see shit tons of them when I was running a mission. Like, I'm on a moving bus or I'm on a moving vehicle. And I'd be like, oh, there's 47 shards right there. I better come back for those. And then, like, I can never find them again. I really did enjoy that.
Too bad. Mailbag.
Oh, okay. Mailbag.
Mailbag. Because I just lost my internet.
Same here.
Nice.
You got it, bastard.
I'm fine.
You're fine. But mine's gone. Damn it. Matthew McFarland, Iron Pass, wrote to us. Hey guys, on the off chance that you record today, or this doesn't get buried in all the responses you're sure to get from E3, I wanted to ask you about Natal and Milo. First, the tech for Natal isn't as incredibly stupid as I thought it would be, but still, I don't want to play my game like that. If I were to pick it up, it would be for the navigation stuff and voice recognition. It is cool tech, but useless for me, really. I want to know I'm playing a game.
He's right there where we were about 2.5 hours ago.
Exactly.
We were
talking about this.
And pull off cool shit I'd never be able to do in real life. That's the purpose of a video game, isn't it? I like games like Bayonetta, Splinter Cell, Modern Warfare 2, and those wouldn't... And those wouldn't translate to something like that, though they're obviously targeting a very specific audience, so there's that. Also, is Milo from Lionhead? I believe he was, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Molyneux's thing.
Yeah, that's Lionhead.
That's why it was so creepy.
As soon as he got up there, I'm like, all right, big grain of salt time.
Yeah.
The dude gets so excited over his own stuff. And like, it's great to, like, once you, like, understand, like, this whole thing, to, like, kind of see, but, yeah.
Am I the only one that made me feel uncomfortable? No, you weren't. In fact, that was the talk of the presentation once everybody walked out into the lobby after they left. Mm-hmm. It was like, what if you like to beat kids? And what if you draw a picture of a penis and show it to Milo? That was it. That was all there was. It was like, okay, and on the paint thing where you can upload your pictures and share, I'm sure it's just going to be a bunch of dick and butts and other shit.
I absolutely do not buy Milo's AI. Partly because it's Molyneux and partly because I know a little bit about where we stand on computer AI. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm sure it's kind of, it's neat.
You know what I thought about?
It's a fun toy to play with for people, but...
Dude, come on. You've got to be with me when I say this. There was one thought I absolutely could not get out of my head when I was looking at it. Seaman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Motherfucker's
you
just Seaman.
You are not the only person that said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody brought that up in the chat room. It was like, this reminds me an awful lot of Seaman.
I kept meaning to bring it up with somebody because I was like, maybe nobody was really down for that. Because I remember we saw that shit. E3.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's weird.
First off, it just looked weird.
I don't like
that
this.
Face on that face.
Right. But no, like, when I saw him doing that and saw her interacting with it, I'm like, this is fucking Seaman.
It's Seaman.
Seaman was kind of fun for like half a second because we had a pet Seaman at the old shop.
Yeah, we did.
Boy, that was weird. But that's all I could think about was Seaman. And I was like, this looks just as like sort of awkward and uncomfortable and the sort of thing that I'll never be able to share in conversation with people who are not in the room right now.
Yeah, unless they're there to experience it. Am I the only one that may feel uncomfortable? I know it's just a tech demo, but it's just weird. Again, I have real-life friends that I can ask if they did their homework, not some AI guy.
Yeah.
It was neat, but it all seemed rather silly and pointless. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to be a stumbling block for progress or something, but it seems like Microsoft is researching this stuff without really knowing where it's going or how to use it. Keep up the good work on the show. No, I think they're...
I agree with everything. I think they know exactly how to use it.
Yeah, they sell it to people that buy Wiis.
Yeah, and obviously we handled that stuff earlier. So you will find, now that you're here, you'll find your answer back at the beginning of the show. But you already know that because you're here now. This is now.
Yeah. That was then, but we're
right
now.
So, yes, I agree, except for the fact that I believe that Microsoft is crazy like a fox. I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and... Okay, Milo, two things. One, I can tell by looking at it, it's the sort of thing if I spent, like, 5 minutes in front of, I'd be able to see the gears underneath it turning and be like, yep, that's how it works. That's how it responds to my thing. Because you programmed it to have this particular kind of thing, and it's kind of weird and awkward now that I'm doing it, because then it doesn't feel like a real thing at all. Even though when you showed it, oh, look how natural and all this. Yeah, so was the dog, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
the dog was the most amazing thing. You've never seen an AI companion like this dog. It's amazing. The dog. Yeah, man, it's
I love it when you rant. We get James rant all the time. Just so rare we get Jeremy rant, and that's great.
I love Molyneux for, like, being who he is and, like, doing what he does, but, like, just to have him there, you know.
Colt Lemons wrote into us.
I like Fable 2. I do, but... He's the dog. He was all about that dog. I'm sorry, he really was. That was not even close to the highlight.
He was also
of
about that
game.
Damn co-op too. But fuck that.
Anyway, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Good thing he's not in charge of more stuff now.
Oh damn. Colt writes in, Luckless Wonder from the Cog Forums. Oh, gurus, thanks. Please discuss the merits or follies of my wished-for game, thereby blessing it with probability.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
What was
we
it?
Have labor to produce, yes. We have to make games come true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right,
we
got to
keep that up until it happens. What are we doing?
His subject was Greenland versus Iceland. Fight.
Iceland?
Yeah.
But look, dude, I'm sorry. Motherfuckers had, like, an eruption and then built, like... Like, Iceland creates islands in, like, 20 years. Like, some shit erupts off the coast and they have a new fucking island. Let's see Greenland do that shit.
He says, there, now I can be normal throughout the rest of this right. email.
Iceland's got, like, well, like 200,000 people, you know? And they helped ruin the whole world economy. That's really awesome.
Well, to be fair,
and the women all look like hot elves.
If Greenland's ice melts and dumps, you know, into the ocean, then that could probably ruin most of Europe's climate. So
that's true.
But they haven't had the balls to do it yet.
Yeah, right.
So
you could drown Iceland if you fucking felt like it. But you won't get off your ice.
I need an instant rim shot somewhere.
I don't know. I think Iceland's cagey. They're quick. They're sort of dirty, right? They've got the agility. I expect sort of an acrobatic performance out of them. They've got a lot. They've got the green. They've got the fire. They got the hot springs. They can build the islands like we're talking about. I mean, they're not afraid to stand 1 foot on either side of the continental or of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. Like, clearly those motherfuckers have, like, you know, a deep repertoire. Greenland, like... Greenland's throwing, like, the haymakers, you know? They've got a power swing, probably a mean left hook. And if they ever connect, you're going down, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I give the edge to Iceland, though.
There you go, Colt. Iceland wins. Ultimately, I found the hype for Resident Evil 5 to be more satisfactory than the actual game. Not that I found it a complete disappointment. I had a lot of fun up until the first chainsaw guy, but after watching my brother play a lot of it, I decided that I was content to just watch. He was dealing with a lot of bullshit I simply didn't care to repeat. Anyway, I decided that I really wanted to see the mechanics of 5, or preferably 4, applied to a remake of Resident Evil 2. Okay. All right. big gasp.
Well, no, that's an inhalation. That's like, okay, there's just something got to be said about that.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see it, because I think that the mechanics of 4 and 5 are on their way out. Like, the way that the game plays, the way it works, all that stuff, it's on the way out. We're on our way to the third evolution of Resident Evil. There was just too much, like, mm-hmm. you know, there was too much upset over the fact that 5, I mean, it's all kind of like, I still can't walk and shoot. At the same time, I still can't. My muscles are the size of a house, and I can't walk and shoot at the same time.
I have to be still when I pull my gun.
That's upsetting, and I think that Capcom knows it, and they were like, we're clear. We had already decided that. Yeah, you know, we're already fixing it. Didn't you know? So, but I think there's a good chance, given you know that they're Japanese, that you could see another remake of 2. In some new evolution of gameplay.
I would love to see that.
2 was fucking badass.
Yeah, it was.
You know what you need co-op 2?
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Proceed, Scott.
Well. Okay.
That's not how you proceed.
Jesus Christ.
I was trying to reconnect.
You're as plotting as Resident Evil 5, man.
Yes.
Come on, step it up.
Resident
you
Evil...
have to sit still to read the
name. Yeah, I can't move. Resident Stop it! Resident Evil 2 had a lot of replay value for me, and I'd love to see a reimagining of it. Plus, it would just be swell to see zombies again. I wanted to see if anyone agreed, or if we had way too many remakes that it is. Yeah, it would be great to see some zombies.
We do agree.
Again.
There are a lot of remakes. Because, again, yeah, we talked earlier about... I can't, those can be good. Remakes can be good. two was done just, properly. Two was fucking great. Two was just really, really good. Yes, two had the best replay value. Two was the best game.
Well, because you had to play it four times to truly get it.
Which didn't suck, though.
Yeah, and it never seemed tedious. You know, I never once said, oh, God, another time. I'm like, ooh. Yeah. I wish there was a sixth time to play through.
Man, I'm so so awesome I get to play through this a fourth time. I can't really say that anymore.
Oh, and because you all have mentioned this a few times, the first settled areas of Greenland were actually very green. The Vikings settled in the southern coastal regions, which weren't covered in ice. Anyway, thanks, guys. Always love the show. Take care.
Vikings are pretty cool. Damn it! You didn't tell me that Greenland had the Vikings on its side. I mean, because there's some Icelandic Vikings, and then you get the... Oh, shit. Well, Vikings fuck everything up. That throws the whole balance off.
God, they're the wild card.
I gotta put that in Scribble Knots.
Vikings.
Yeah. Gotta put those in there. That's all the email we got.
Well, we've been busy. They've been busy. Yeah.
I'd love to go to the thread and read off that stuff, but I can't because I ain't got no internet.
Got no interwebs?
Nope.
You want this?
Hey, this guy has interwebs.
Yeah.
No. You're just gonna give him. I don't do this.
I don't do this part. God, for God's sake, I can just unstick my wire and stick it into his thing, and it's like,
whoa,
yeah,
hey.
And I can keep on doing what I do, which is like not read that sort
That's
of stuff.
That's pretty talented.
Yeah. I like avoiding, doing some stuff.
Well, he's busy doing that. Real quick, I want to interject in. I like the Mass Effect. Oh, never mind. God, crap.
What did you like?
The Mass Effect 2. I was thinking about that trailer.
It was there. It didn't do much for me.
I thought you find out that Shepard's not dead.
Man, Shepard wasn't fucking dead. What the hell's wrong with you? He was never dead. No, they didn't.
They said he was.
They played you.
They did.
Dude, ooh. They fucking played. Come on, Shepard was never dead. It was like, Shepard's the whole reason for the goddamned game.
What made you think Shepard was dead?
The fact that the trailer beforehand said that he died.
All right, let's just... All right, no. The trailer did not say he died. The trailer is like, Shepard, blah, 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 beep, KIA. Whatever, right? Didn't say when that shit happened. They didn't say that was some shit that happened before Mass Effect 2. So why the hell would he be dead at the beginning or anything? Even if there was dead Shepard somewhere in the realm of Mass Effect 2, there's no reason. There was never any reason to think that that was like the state of affairs to begin with, like none at all. So
that's just what I pieced together. From
I know it. Clearly. I was like, he's not fucking dead. They're just like jerking my chain. It's totally jerking my chain, so... I have to fucking play that again, though. Because... I want to play it on the PC. I didn't play it on the PC the first time.
That's apparently much, much smoother.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I mean, I won't dick around with, like, so much of the secondary objective, which I dicked around eternally with on the, on the 360. But I do want to play through it again, because I want to play 2 on the PC. I just didn't have a PC when a lot of that stuff was coming out, like Bioshock and Mass Effect and stuff. So I played it on the 360. This time around, I'd like to go the other way.
Getting the simultaneous launch this time?
Yes, which is another reason why
I
can do it on the 360. So that'll be really nice. What the hell happened? Did you do your thing? Because I just totally thought of two other things I got to talk about. We're almost like 3 hours in.
Yeah, it's going to be. We've been a week. We've been a week with
and
our
maybe nobody will mind. Well, I wanted to bring up like something now. Like from the now, because Prototype came out today.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that at E3.
I played a little bit of it today.
A little bit of it.
What's your impression?
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Oh, not like...
All right, let me tell you a couple things. Right. One, it's representing... It's doing like a real city. Now, it's open world, and it's like all sorts of crazy open world stuff going on. And it's good at it. It looks good. It has a unflappable frame rate. It's doing the open world, open city thing, handling the distance and LOD transitions and all that stuff. A lot. I mean, there's a natural comparison to Infamous. We can't get around it. Mm-hmm. How it handled that space, it's a lot better. It looks a lot better. It doesn't have the texture popping and stuff and some of the frame rate issues that Infamous had, but I don't like it. I don't really like the control scheme, and it's so it's so open. It really seems to lack that we said it earlier in the show, but in direct comparison, I think Infamous did. It guided you and controlled you
to a perfect amount,
not too much, not too little, you know? And so I sat down and I spent about 2 hours in front of Prototype, and I could not stick to what must have been the story. There wasn't any reason to do it. Everything I did devolved into cutting people in half with my claws, which is kind of fun. But I didn't like fighting did you fight against any of the like the big brutish like bad guy things first thing you come with? I hated it because like I wound up they would pummel me a lot and I couldn't block and I would get knocked down and killed and stuff, and I just didn't like the way that I would interact with them. I didn't feel I could like kill like 200 innocent civilians on the side of the road, cut them all in half, utter gore. And you know, yeah, okay, I'm a badass. But then when I was fighting the big thing, it wasn't there. And they weren't even like the major big thing. I don't know. The fighting mechanics, it's the whole thing is. It is a brawler, you know. The dude himself is a weapon, and very much in the T-1000 vein of things. And I just didn't. It just didn't feel right.
Well, I had a bad feeling about it when I heard, and you can tell me if this is actually true or not, that they added on a bit in the beginning where you start off like super uber big powered, and then they take it all away.
Yes.
And I heard the reason they did that was people weren't having fun with it, you know, in the beginning.
Yeah.
So they thought, well, let's give them a glimpse of what you can become. And like, man, if you're not having fun with them again, showing me like what I am down the road doesn't make that any more fun.
Yeah,
I hate it when they do that in Metroid all the time.
It just makes it more frustrating.
Yeah,
you know. But that means gameplay is flawed.
Yeah.
If people aren't having fun with it, it doesn't mean you need to show me that the game's more fun later on.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to say it.
I had a bad feeling when I heard that.
I just didn't like. I mean, there's some stuff that it's clearly really good at, and like, I'm not saying you're giving me too much right off, but I just felt like, well, here I am in this big city and I'm uber powerful. I could either go figure out what the story is or I could just go kill people. And it looked like there's some neat story there, and I'm going to play it some more. I really don't want to just base it on a first impression, but based on like the first hour and a half, I guess, what I spent with it, it's not likable to me. Where I'm thinking back to where I was with, you know, Infamous, and it's like, you know, all I can do is like, psh, 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 like at the beginning, and that was really enough.
That was a lot of fun, actually.
And then I got another thing, and I'm like, whoa, I got another thing, and then another thing, and then another thing, and it was great, and the build-up was really awesome. Mm-hmm. But I was still using my basic power a lot of the time, and still felt okay with that.
Yeah.
This just didn't seem right, and there didn't seem any reason to go to where the mission was, and like automatically it's like, here you are in this giant open city, go do this thing where you try to glide down to this point and get a gold thing, or go do like a rooftop race where you race from point to point just for the sake of experience, you know. It didn't even have the it wasn't even tied into a gameplay mechanic like it was in Infamous.
They didn't build it as part of their world or a reason to go
it
do
didn't
it
know none of it just felt odd and not likable. I'm not saying it was certainly very pretty, although kind of bland in that way it needed to be bland in order to populate the city with, like, just scads and oodles of people and cars and stuff. It just made them all very bland. But the sense of space and scale reminded me a lot of Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
But the sense of how much I enjoyed what I was doing was like, yeah, I still really like this. I mean, it's certainly more hardcore, you know, and it's cross-platform, so I'm sure it'll get people excited, but I just didn't find it very likable, that's all. Surprisingly, and it is deeply flawed, Red Faction Guerrilla is kind of likable.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I never played any of the other Red Factions.
Well, it's not at all like the other Red Factions.
Okay.
Either in story or gameplay. And it's
a goofy little.
It's actually, I didn't play two. I did not play 2. It's a goofy little inversion of the first game, though. Because in the first game, there was all that geomod destruction stuff. Yeah. And you could, like, obliterate the entire goddamned countryside with your weapons and your all your tools of destruction and mining and extraction of valuable ore. But you couldn't, like, really hurt structure. Anything man-made, right, you couldn't hurt. This game's completely opposite. If it's man-made, if it's assembled, if it's a structure or a habitation or a car or a thing that holds fluids or channels gases from one place to another or whatever, you can fuck that shit up. It's really actually very, very, very fun. I like it a lot. It's kind of fun. It's after Mars has been, like, terraformed and everything, and it's the typical Red Faction, like, you know, assholes are treating the working people on Mars like, you know, serfs or whatever. And,
sure.
You know, we're whatever. We're the Red Faction. Gar. But it's fun. It's a little more than just plain silly fun. Like, it's neat. And the way that you can handle the areas is, like, quasi-open. You know, like, the guys are all over the place, and if you go around and, like, blow up the Red Faction's stuff, they lose influence in that area. And you can do certain things that will cause the civilians to gain morale, which is really good. And you can sort of work that balance one against the other. Some of it's a little cheesy because, like, the Red Faction guys will, like, totally get on your case if you go around blowing their shit up. Or if you bump into one of their cars or something, and they just, like, get all on your ass. And you have kind of it's not really a wanted rating, but it's sort of their activity level. But that shit goes to, like, screaming red very fast. And so what it kind of devolved into for me was figure out what I want to go blow up. I want to go out and blow up a low-value target. Right, so I go do that, and they get all on my ass, and I have to kill a bunch of them, get a vehicle, get away, go back to my, you know, and then they show up again, and they're all over me, and I have to run back to my safe house. And they don't follow you up to your safe house, which is preposterous, because it's, like, right there. It's, like, just up this drive, you know? That's fine. It dumps all your aggro. Cool. And then you go back out and rinse and repeat, and you can choose, like, storyline missions, or you can just sort of go around destroying their shit and then collecting salvage, which spawns as you destroy a structure, and you carry that back to, like, old girl in the jumpsuit with the wrenches and stuff, and she makes you tools of destruction.
Okay.
But it's fun. It's fun. It's difficult to describe it in such a way that it sounds like an excellent game, but I had a lot of fun with it. And I figured, well, I'll get back to this once, you know, I've done with Prototype, but I may get back to it a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
And because it's actually, it's not a really deep and lasting fun, and I hear it's pretty short, but, you know, I got through, like, the first area, which was short and sweet, and you move on to this next thing, which is a little more complicated, and I don't know, I liked it.
Just hold you off and hold your interest for a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I know, it was fun. It's fun. I haven't done the multiplayer yet, which I hear might be neat, but just the single player, whatever you do, like, yeah, it's cute and it's enjoyable. I just want to make sure I mention those two things. I got to give some more time to Prototype. Maybe somebody else out there has already given it more time, but I don't know. You say you didn't really like it from that, just, whatever you spent.
It was a very short play time that I had over at E3 that I didn't like it. Didn't like what I was playing. It was, I don't know where this part is in the game, because I didn't start it from the beginning, or at least I didn't know. I was just like, oh, here it is, let me pick it up and start playing. But it had, like, tasks. You need to take out these 3 tanks coming in. Okay, you're done, great. Here's a little level up. Okay, now you need to take out 6 soldiers that are shooting at you. Okay, you're done, level up. Now go after these big
things, yeah.
Things. Like, take out 3 of those. Congratulations, now you got to take out 5 of those.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of how it was with what I was doing.
And all it was like, button mash, car throw it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
What did I just do?
And I, you know, in the first little bit where you have all of those powers and abilities, like, some stuff was neat to do.
I could only make him glide that one time.
Yeah.
I tried again, and I couldn't figure out.
You hold right trigger to sprint, parkour, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have the right trigger held down, then you hit A to jump, and then hit A again, and he'll glide. Mm. But you have to be holding down the right trigger. So you basically do what would be a double jump, but right. you have to keep the right trigger held.
That was my problem.
Some of the early stuff was fun. I mean, it was just like... Like, one of the things he did, I was like, did I just fucking really do that? I, like, jumped up in the air, and then somebody that I had targeted, I sort of leapt toward them, like, feet first, and smashed down and killed them, and then corpse surfed down the road on, like, on the sort of blob of goo that was what remained. And I was like... And I, like, sort of skied along the ground on their bloody torso. And I was like, that was just fucking weird, man. And then every time you, like, absorb somebody, there was something, like, distinct. I don't know if you guys ever bothered with this, because it's an evil thing. But if you did the power drain from people in Infamous?
Yeah, I did it plenty when I was trying to get over to the Infamous side.
Yeah, because it's real bad.
Yeah.
And, like, that had a, like, distinctly sinister appeal to it. Like, I kind of felt bad when I would do it, because they, like, fight your hand off. You have to tap square to, like, push your hand, and, you know, and they're all, like, they don't look happy, you know? And you're, like, pushing your hand in toward their head, and then it just, like, sort of vampire sucks all their energy out. I was like, that was kind of mean. That was kind of crazy. Their prototype has a similar mechanic, but you do it constantly, where you have to, like, absorb people for various reasons, which, and this is something that interested me. Not the whole, I got to get disguised as this guy so I can walk through a door. That just seems kind of boring. It's like, man, have you seen my fucking claws? Guys with shit like this on the ends of their hands don't sneak through doors. They make their own doors wherever the hell they damn well please. So that's a bit of a miss.
Sure.
But the thing of, like, absorbing people's memories to learn clues to your past and, like, to kind of know what you got to do in other situations, yeah, that's okay. Fine. That's really quite cool. You also absorb them to regain health energy. The act of absorbing them and the animation and the thing, like... I didn't really want to go through the whole game doing that. It's...
I never did absorb anyone when I was doing it.
It's gross. It's gross. Things come out of you and grab at the whatever's left of the person. And then the person... All right. It looks kind of like a slightly less spastic...
Goldeneye dance.
So I'm, like, running down the street and I grab this guy and I'm like... You know, and I slurp him up and I keep running, and, like, all of my tendrils are wagging around behind me, sort of, like, twisting and turning and sort of crunching this guy and pulling him into me, and I'm like, ugh. And it's still, I don't like it. And it felt weird. It was like, I don't know. Like, oh, I didn't like it. I wasn't comfortable with that method of... It didn't feel right.
It was just kind of disturbing. Is this where I leave the room so you guys can talk about Infamous and the...
Since we're out of other stuff to do, yeah, you should totally do that. And we want to...
Was that it for the mailbag?
I really do want to talk about... Yeah,
that was it for the mailbag.
The part where you said that was all the mail. Usually, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know, man.
Sorry.
It's okay. I didn't have to be a dick about it.
You can have your internet back.
Hurry up. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm leaving. Taking my Mac with me now.
Yawn.
So I can reset the internet.
I just want to be clear.
Spoilers ahead.
Spoilers. Don't go hide, because we're going to come find you.
I'm not going to go hide. I'm going to sit probably across the hall. People are going to watch you.
Right. I would like to reinforce that this is all spoiler territory about Infamous.
Nothing you want to hear if you think you might ever play Infamous.
Yeah, so please, we really do want to talk about it.
You don't have a PS3 now, but might later, or might borrow one to play it, because it's worth doing. It's worth experiencing without spoilers.
Just want to let you know that, like, it's worthy enough that there are spoiler things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it elicited a couple of, like, what the fuck voicemail messages. So
all right, I think we've done our duty.
So, yeah.
It's fair warning.
Even RJ chimes in on this.
Yeah. So did anybody honestly see it coming?
No.
No.
I
didn't either.
I think Becky's lying.
Well, he said she saw it at the fight.
She said when you look at the guy and you're like, you look familiar. familiar.
Yeah.
Or like something about the voice sounded familiar. Like she put it together then.
All right.
Yeah, and in case you have no desire to play the game or whatever, and you don't know what we're talking about, it's a difficult picture to paint because honestly, it's a little bit confusing to begin with. And I said before that the story made more sense on my second playthrough.
Yeah.
So yes. I was able to see the pieces where they were. It's hard to describe, but your powers were not an accident. Your powers, you're a fucking bike messenger, man, and you're delivering some crazy shit from one place to another. And
that
then
blows up the whole goddamn city.
Yeah, and you're at the fucking epicenter of that. And you have all this crazy shit happening to you. You're not dead. You're sort of a little crispy. And electricity is really fond of you now.
Uh-huh. And when you wake up, there's a helicopter what are you doing there? Get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
You know, go, run. And so you do.
And you run. And time, basically time goes by, and shit's all fucked up, and it doesn't make any sense. There's these three islands that comprise the city.
You start to uncover a conspiracy.
Yeah, and there's a plague, and the government has shut off access to these three offshore islands that comprise a part of Empire City. And you're there, and you're kind of around, and you've sort of barely got these powers, and you're hanging out with your buddy Zeke. And, you know, you can,
Your girlfriend's a bitch.
Your girlfriend's a total bitch.
None of us liked her.
No.
Even Becky was she is a bitch.
Yeah.
She's a doctor. They play her hardcore humanitarian. If you're not saving a million billion lives a day...
Then you're a shit.
...fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And all the stuff. And, meanwhile, you're just, charging up Zeke's battery so that he can watch TV. But, you're doing this thing, and it has a lot to do with, you know, there's, these assholes who aren't really human anymore stomping around the island.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be tied into what this plague is. And there's lots of different players on lots of different levels, and that's cool. But at the top of this whole game is a guy named Kessler. And you don't know anything about him. And the story evolves by you picking up dead drops, little tiny audio logs set by
John.
Another one of the major characters, John. And you kind of learn as you find these things what the hell's really going on, and you learn a lot about Kessler, and Kessler's performing some really nasty experiments with the Ray Sphere, which is this device. Mm-hmm. And the device, the design of the device is it basically kills a bunch of people, sucks the energy out of all the people,
and puts it into one person. The thing, the Ray Sphere.
And for some reason, that's you, and you don't know why.
Mm-hmm. But it becomes very clear that you were chosen not at random.
Yes.
To be the one to do this.
So you wonder why, and you kind of follow why, and you're sort of looking for this Ray Sphere. And meanwhile, there's some other side stuff, like Sasha, we were talking about, is kind of like one end of the experimentation that was happening with all this, but it's not even clear in this game what her final role will be, because...
Yeah.
You know, she's like the first boss, which, by the way, I liked that fight.
That was a good fight.
I was like, man, that was kind of a fun boss fight.
Yeah.
The way it was built, I liked it, you know? A good mix of range, a good mix of, it wasn't technically a quick time event. It was more like a context-sensitive event, which was, I liked that. That was really cool. But she gets away after the first battle. And see, this is something where, clearly, a good side playthrough does not give you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
There are different missions. There are 15 missions that are good exclusive and bad exclusive, and they enhance your karma one way or the other. So basically, you either do all the good side missions, which involve helping somebody or being, you know, like a goody two shoes kind of guy, which that's great. Evil side missions on the first island before you fight Sasha, they're all like
there's a protest, over there about you, or the cops are gonna, you know.
That they're mostly given by other people.
Yeah.
After you fight Sasha, all of the evil side missions go to the start point are all given by her.
Wow.
She talks to you in your head, and there are things she wants you to do. And what's totally actually very very cool, you know, the creepy fucking Reapers, the ones that can teleport. You hang out with them a lot. You follow them around and
the conduits.
Fight with you. Yeah, the conduit level Reapers. They'll
look at things that teleport around the ring and throw a lightning across the roof.
Wow.
Yeah, and you fight with them and they bounce around and go places and she wants you to follow them and help them out and stuff. I was this is really cool. That's kind of why I was maybe she'll show up as a part of the ending, which unfortunately it doesn't dovetail that well. But all of those evil side missions are given by her, so she's clearly, like, batshit crazy, but, like, really crazy and has, like, some weird shit coming out of her mouth. But I still liked her a lot better than Trish.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, like we referenced this before, at some point you have to make a decision about whether or not to save Trish. Kessler, this will make sense in a second if you don't know where we're going, Kessler forces you into a position. You learn...
It's the Spider-Man choice.
Yeah. You have to save Trish, who's hanging for her life over, like, from the top of a building with, like, a bomb attached to the mechanism that she's hanging from, or save six doctors. And Trish is a doctor. She's a doctor, and she's...
Doctors, actually.
Was it 10?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was a... Was it? I don't remember. Yeah. Whatever. Do what?
I thought it was six.
Yeah, see, I thought it was six.
I kept hearing 10.
Oh.
No, six on one building, Trish on another. You only got time to save one
right.
set.
Regardless, it was multiple
More.
Doctors.
Yeah.
Like I was
yeah.
saying, like, well, and we talked about, like, we don't know whether that's... Which one is technically the good choice, because you're trying to go 100% good or 100% evil.
Yeah.
So I was like, what would Spock do? Well, Spock right. would save, like, the six doctors, or 10 doctors, or whatever.
Well,
so,
even Kessler's like, you know, think of all the lives they'll save.
Yeah, exactly.
Save them. How many thousands of lives?
Right.
As opposed to just her. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's clear what Kessler wants you to do.
Yeah.
He wants you to save the doctors for some reason. And I'm like, what... He's trying
think
to
of the greater. He's trying to say, think of the greater good.
Yeah, he's trying.
Can
to
you make that decision?
What he wants me to,
but
be.
You don't
like,
realize
what the fuck
that
is your like.
Yeah, and you see that he's doing that.
He puts, I couldn't figure out why.
Because a mission before that, he had placed bombs around the city, and like.
Yeah. So clearly, he has orchestrated like my creation. He's trying to turn me into some sort of force for good, but he's using all these like really twisted means and sacrificing a lot of people to do it. So I'm like, what the fuck is your game, man? What
so
is?
Yeah, if you save the six doctors, Trish falls to her death. Mm-hmm. If you go to save Trish,
it turns out not to be.
It's
Trish.
A proxy, and Prix is among,
and she's
Prix.
With the doctors. Yeah. Yeah,
Trish is among the other doctors and dies anyway. So either way,
really?
She dies.
Nice.
Yeah. which it's a good trick, and like whatever you reinforce the evil, you reinforce the evil. The next major step was, and this is one of the things where sometimes I think the good side really reinforced what Kessler was going for. Sometimes I think the evil side did it. When you finally track down the Ray Sphere, when you actually get the Ray Sphere in your hands, if you make the good decision to like destroy it or whatever, or you zap it to try to destroy it, it fucks up and it kills John.
Right.
He's just obliterated in the thing, and you're like, oh, well, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And then Kessler's like, think of what you gave up. Think of the power that could, like, that you could have used. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't remember if he berates you more or what for being good, but he specifically talks about the power that you could have had.
Yeah. He berates you pretty bad.
He berates him a lot about, oh, you could have had all this power, could have been yours, you could have done this, could have done that. And then Cole basically tells him, look, I've realized, look, it's not all about me.
Yeah.
That around the good way anyway.
Right, which turns out to be wrong, of course. In the evil way, you do reactivate the sphere because you're thinking about it and you're, you know, facing that kind of cheesy moral choice second, and then it's like, what the fuck ever, you know? Use it. And John, like, realizes what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he reaches and he tries to stop you from doing it. And, like, when he gets close to the sphere, it obliterates him. But, and then the sphere obliterates itself in the same way, but you are left with, like, full power.
Wow.
Like, absolute full power. And all your shit's, like, crackling black and red. Like, it was pretty cool, you know? and then your guy starts being, like, really, like, just acting like a dick. Mm-hmm. And Kessler says, good, you made the right choice. Think of all the power you have now. Hopefully you'll be able to use it for what comes next. You know? And several times, you know, you like, taunt Kessler. And you're like, oh, you're such a tough man, blah, 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 blah. He's like, yeah, I'm not a tough guy. He's like, I'm pretty weak. He's like, I'm actually really weak.
Yeah.
He's like, but that's not what this is about, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, what the fuck is your problem, man?
Yeah, and there were a couple times he talked about, like, I gotta see if you're prepared for what comes next.
Yeah.
And, like, I was thinking, like, you know, yeah, because we're going to throw down, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Why do you care if, like... I'm prepared for that. We're going to fight.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be.
Well, because, like, we should mention the first meeting, he, like, zips up in your grill and, like, sinks his fingers into your head. And,
yeah,
like,
does
gives
that
you
Vulcan
this image
mind
of, like,
meld,
ultimate horrifying destruction.
Yeah.
And tells you it's your fault.
Uh-huh.
Which you're like, because everybody's been blaming you for being at the center of this bomb. Trish blames you because her sister was killed in this. A lot of people have blamed you. Voice of Survival?
Yeah, that guy was funny. I hate that I like never got to encounter that guy.
I know. I wanted to be the one who killed him.
Yeah. I was sure there'd be a mission where I'd meet him at some point, but oh well. But yeah, like your character interprets it as this ultimate destruction is what Kessler's after.
Yeah.
This is like what he wants to cause, but like
And he's telling you that like somehow you're like whatever. It's in there and it's all your fucking fault. But I don't know. But like we said, I thought the final boss battle was good. It was a good encounter. It was a really good thing. But like when you beat him, when he's finally beaten, he like does the finger thing again, and you basically get to see like what really happened. Like he falls down. He says something about.
He's like, Trish,
I love you. And that's a point
that
at which
I was like, what the fuck?
Why are you talking about my fucking girlfriend, bitch? Like, what the fuck's your problem? Like, who are you to love Trish? You know? Like, because
I don't even love her.
I know. And before that, he was telling you about, like, when you and Trish, like, your father warned you and Trish married. And so I'm like, what the fuck are you on? What are you talking about?
He's talking about his mother. Said your mother, she's telling everybody you're something else, and she had to lie to everybody.
Yeah, because your parents are embarrassed about what you were.
Yeah.
But all it all came to a head when he pulled that picture out.
Yeah, and the picture was of
from his
Trish. Parents. It was from his wedding day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's getting married to Trish, and Zeke was his best man. And you realize
Kessler's you.
You are Kessler, but from like an alternate thing. And then he does like because you get like the whole sinks his fingers into your head, and you like learn. He gives you everything. He gives you all of his memory, and it's like. He was
basically,
you.
Yeah, you got all these powers, but like never developed them. And then like when this unnamed ultimate destroyer came
which
along,
did not show up in the game.
No,
this is something they're very clear. It's like in the inevitable future of this character.
Yeah. In the future,
like he comes along and like starts destroying the city, and so like you run off with your family to keep them safe.
You choose to run,
but
and to
then
hide.
It goes on and basically wipes out the entire world till it kills your family too.
Yeah,
and like he decides to use your last power that you learned, which is time travel. To go back in time and change all that.
Sons.
Yeah, and you gain control of like who are the first sons. They're the assholes from the third island, but they're this secret organization, the guys that recaptured Sasha. Mm-hmm. These guys whose whole purpose has been the control of this power.
Yeah.
And you develop things so that you can create yourself, but in a much more intentional way this time. Under different circumstances, because the Kessler you didn't receive the powers in the same way. He received them in apparently some other way that you don't really know about.
So that's why he was grooming you, or you were grooming yourself.
Yes.
And why Trish had to die.
He made these decisions
and
so that you could be...
And he made statements along the way that he was very sorry she had to die.
Yeah.
You know, but, he wanted to make sure that when the time came... You'd stand and fight.
Yeah. And so he was systematically hardening you and removing everything you cared about so there wouldn't be anything left to stand between you and the job you had to do. And that's where you're left.
He said, I think he said during that ending, he said he wanted to remove all emotional ties so that he'd be able to make the tough decisions necessary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like
it makes the whole thing when Zeke runs off with Kessler. You know, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, see, there was a whole thing.
Okay.
And you kind of... And I, once the whole thing was over, I was like, how did that work out? Because that was actually a great thing. Like, in the big conflict...
That didn't unfold the way I expected it to.
Yeah.
Like, Zeke running off with the spear, like, when we started going after the spear, I was like, this motherfucker has been all about hanging out with me because of the powers. Like, it's not just a buddy-buddy thing anymore. He's, like, trying
jealous.
To be... He's jealous.
Jealous. Mm-hmm. He wants
he doesn't resent you at all. He's still your friend. He's still your buddy. He still loves you.
Yeah.
But he just wants a little zappy zap.
But, yeah, he's just so miserable on his own. He wants to be able to help, and he wants to be able to... So,
right.
yeah,
so
I saw that coming.
It wasn't like a boss fight, but it was the culmination of the second island.
Yeah, he
where
activates
fighting.
The ray sphere.
Right.
And
who?
I was like, motherfucker just killed, like, how yeah. many people? And then it
well,
did nothing. Anything.
Yeah, because it was cool because, like, and not to marginalize him, but Alden? Was that the name of the guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was very cool because he was a super powerful conduit for these energies. The conduits are like the guys who can create the golems, the guys who can use the teleport powers. The conduits are the ones who are not just your normal grunts in the game. Anybody with special powers is a conduit. And Alden was like this maniacal conduit who had power taken away from him. And you had to kind of fight. And he was after the Ray Sphere to regain what he thought was his
birthright.
His birthright,
he was supposed to rule the city or whatever.
Which he would have in the original timeline if Kessler had not sent himself back. Mm-hmm. Which it isn't really handled. It's just sort of a supposition of like, yeah, he would have. But he's amazingly powerful. And you have to kind of, you come into this encounter with him, you know where the race sphere is, he has this, like, super crazy tall tower of junk where he and the trash men have done their whatever. And you get up there and you have to have this big fight, and then Kessler shows up, and, like, so Kessler's there and Alden's there, and they both want the race sphere, and you want the race sphere, and you've been fighting all the assholes off while Zeke is trying to pry the race sphere loose from the thing, and there he stands, like, you with the power, Alden, Kessler, right in between him, and he makes his decision, and he activates the Ray Sphere. And you can't believe it, because he just chose to kill tens of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't do shit. And Kessler, again, you don't realize this at the time, Kessler knows, like, right off the bat what the hell's happening. Mm-hmm. And he promises Zeke, he's like, you come with me, you bring that to me, I'll make sure you get your power.
Yeah.
And Zeke runs away with Kessler.
Yeah, and he looks at you, and you can tell that, like, it's breaking his heart to do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he is a bad guy,
but he's not. This isn't like standard video game thing where you're betrayed by your best friend and he's, asshole. No, like, he felt bad about doing it, but he was just too goddamn greedy and selfish.
And at that point, he had made the decision.
Yeah.
How does he walk back over to your side?
Yeah, he's already stepped over the line. Yeah.
Sorry about trying to activate that whole thing.
Sorry about trying to kill 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's go for burgers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's shortly after that, what's her name?
Sasha?
Trish. Trish is killed, so of course you blame Zeke for it. Zeke calls you and you're like, don't even answer him.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to apologize. Like, I know you're there. Just whatever.
Yeah, well, how do you end it? The story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just so believable. That character.
It was a good journey.
When he was at the beginning, when he's goofing around, blah, 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 I was like, I've got a buddy. One of two things is going to happen. They're going to kill him or he's going to betray me. Well, he did betray me, but in the most human and believable way that I have ever seen presented to me in a video game.
Yeah.
I totally thought that he would be like a mini boss or a boss fight that, you know, he'd get his superpowers from Kessler and then you'd have to fight him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and
that didn't happen.
The
way he was dealt with was dismissive.
And I liked it that you didn't.
Like, all that happened, you get a call and he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, yeah, it didn't turn out at all like I thought.
The way they handled it, yeah.
You know.
Do you think Kessler told him the truth?
Who knows?
He may have even figured the truth. But you don't know because in the middle, it's after stage one of your fight. Or is it stage two of your fight with Kessler?
With you?
Yeah, that Zeke comes running back.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I'm going to take care of this, blah, 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 blah. And like, Kessler's just like, what the fuck ever, fat man? Like, and
this
like,
doesn't involve you, fat man.
Backhands him and like knocks him like 100 yards off into the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, just dismisses him as whatever. Like, I let you stand next to me because you brought me the Ray Sphere. This is bigger than you.
Well,
even though
clearly,
you're my
like,
best.
He discarded him before that.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he got the Ray Sphere, he's probably just dropped him off somewhere. It's like, no. It's not how it works.
Yeah, it was good. And even though, like, because, you know, Zeke was to him what he was to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it was just really good, because at first I was like, why did we fight? Why did he try to kill me? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, because I had to be able to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't able to kill him, I wasn't strong enough to stop what was coming. Because he wasn't strong enough to stop what was coming.
Yeah.
And if I can't beat him, then it's all lost anyway. So, yes, he threw everything into trying to kill me. And it all made sense.
Yeah.
And the reason you never saw it coming is that Kessler's old. He's really old. He's like kind of possibly cybernetic a little bit. Has like some Darth Vader, like I've replaced some of my parts kind of thing. Because he's so involved in the technology of how he got these powers. And he's so advanced in years beyond where you are that his powers don't really resemble your powers.
Yeah.
So you didn't see the similarity.
Right, right.
His powers are a little bit more like some of the other enemies' powers.
Like and then the conduit from the first island.
That's interesting, though, because when I was fighting him, I was like, what kind of powers are these? What are these based in?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, the chick had her weird goo mind control shit, and the other guy had, like, his, you know, telekinetic.
Yeah, telekinesis thing. Stuff,
and,
yeah.
And this guy was, like, throwing light
lots
stuff
of...
that was kind of like electricity. It's like, it seems similar to my thing,
yeah.
But it's,
yeah,
I can't tell exactly like what it... And then I just as quickly, like, the thought was gone.
Yeah.
Like, I never even thought about going down that road. It was just a curiosity.
Well, especially if you try to get out of the fight.
Yeah. I mean, seeing his powers, you never would have thought electrically based. I mean, he was, like, hit the ground, and all of a sudden got this big earthquake.
Yeah, it's
out.
All force-based
it's
and illusion-based.
Force illusions.
Well, whatever. Because it had the illusions from the Sasha fight.
Yeah.
It had a lot of the force stuff. Not a lot, but it was a little bit resembling of Alden stuff.
Yeah,
but,
when he summoned those... Some of those grenade-throwing little drones.
Yeah, I hate those little motherfuckers.
Those things.
Yeah.
But, like, if you ever either screwed up or intentionally tried to run away and try to get too far out to the edge of the area, he, like, grabs you with, like, what are your electrical thing? It looks exactly like your electricity.
Pure white electric.
Tosses you back to the center of the arena. He's like, oh, no, you're not going anywhere. And, like, grabs you and, like, throws you back using, like, electrical... Power.
Did you do that the first time or second playthrough? Try and run away?
I didn't try to run away. I was just trying not to fucking die.
No, was that the first time? Was that the first time or the second time?
Yeah, it was the first time.
Okay, so did that give you any kind of indication that it was you?
I mean,
Dude,
I was trying not to die.
Okay.
I was like you. I was just trying to keep my distance because getting close to him was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so sometimes you just occasionally get too far to the outside and all of a sudden he just throws you right back on the... On that pedestal where you, I like how you started where the whole game started, like in that.
It was really that was really cool.
Yeah. It's good to
like to end it right where it began.
Approaching
I was like,
that fight, like
this is where I was born.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that was really like, good.
I just like.
And
it.
Technically, it's where you die.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird, but yeah, like, and there's more nuance in the game than the game doesn't do an excellent job of delivering on all of its own nuance. Like, seriously, if you play through it a second time, stuff is a lot more detailed, and you're like, oh yeah, like, okay, I see what's going on here. Like, I get what's happening with this and with this other thing and all that other stuff. So, I just liked it, man. I thought they just did a bang up job.
Yeah,
I cannot wait for another one. I had heard rumors maybe that there would be DLC.
I would like to delve more into Sasha and like her whole role.
Because she's clearly there. If you play Evil, like she is not only there, but she's active as hell.
Well, even like when you first meet her in the first boss fight, she's like, you know, hey, honey, you're late for dinner. I get dressed. It's like, you know, there's some kind of history between the two.
Well she's crazy.
That makes a lot of sense.
She's not seeing. Yeah, she.
Yeah. She doesn't... I don't think she separates you from Kessler in her mind. Because remember, like, from the dead drops, like, they specifically mention a romantic relationship forming between Sasha and Kessler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ended badly.
So she and refers so, like, to... Like, so sometimes it's like she's talking to you. Sometimes it's like she's talking to somebody else. And I do the natural flip thing. It's just like, oh, bitch, man, I'm not whoever you're pissed at. Like, why are you being crazy?
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, you are fucking insane. What the fuck is your problem?
Yeah. Just gone crazy and you're just bitching at me because
at first
I'm
I
here?
Thought it was like some sort of weird sick seduction thing, but in that boss fight with her, I was like, I don't know who the fuck you think I am,
but I'm not him.
As it turns out,
you are.
Which again, none of that stuff makes sense, and even by the time you get to the game, you've forgotten all of that subtlety, you know, by the time you get to the end,
yeah.
it, like, even now talking it through, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, there's details you didn't even read. Yeah, right there until we were talking about Sasha.
Yeah, I mean, Sasha always said, how can you still love her?
Yeah.
Why can you still love her? And I'm like,
what the fuck is it talking about?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, fine. Trish and I got some shit, but like, What's your fucking problem?
No? Why are you talking to me about Trish?
And it's it's all there.
Not itch you.
Yeah.
It's all there. And then the whole thing, and there's still a lot of stuff left undiscussed. Like Moya, who basically acts as your handler.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with Moya?
I don't know.
We still don't know.
Well, see, because she sends you, when you try to escape early on.
She's one of the few surviving characters, so yeah. I'm guessing that'll be explored in a sequel.
Right. You try to escape early on, and you make a pretty good run of it, but she captures you. Mm-hmm. You try to break the quarantine and get back to the mainland. Yeah. And this is long before you realize there's a greater picture. You're just like, whatever, I can zap fools.
Yeah.
And like, I'm getting out of here.
Who can stop me?
Yeah. I'm like, I can zap guys, and she's like a chick in charge who needs shit zapped.
Yeah.
It seems like the perfect setup for a game.
And
yeah,
she
really
sends you back into the quarantine to look for her husband, John. John's the initiator of all of these dead drops.
Yeah,
John is the guy who's...
He's FBI like her, and like they send him in, they've lost contact, they need to know what happened to him.
And
like you chase after John for a long fucking time.
And then it's even just like, it's a minute after you get in touch with him.
Then you start...
You drop something about like, well, what the fuck do I tell Moya?
And he's like, who the fuck is Moya?
Like, and he's like,
you're a wife?
And he's like, dude, I don't know what they're telling you, but like, I've never been married.
Yeah.
The first words out of his mouth, you get played.
You're getting played. And then you realize,
and then you say, oh,
crap,
FBI, and he's like, man, I'm not FBI.
Not those chumps.
You have been lied to.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
But it's so, you're at such an advanced point in the story that it's like, okay, well, I'm with John now, and then a couple of like major missions later, John's gone. John just is like obliterated.
Mm-hmm. At first, I didn't know who to believe, John or Moya. I'm like, all right,
I knew who to believe.
Yeah, I did. Dude, all right, just think about who Moya is. Think in sort of the grand scheme of like controlling women, Moya Shodan. Not necessarily in the AI construct kind of way,
but
in the whole like
puppet master
kind of way.
Yeah.
And pretty well crafted at that.
But yeah, like your interaction with her, basically, she like tells you, well, I had to lie to you to get you to do what I wanted you to do. And you're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Do you not see how fucked up that is? And she doesn't.
No.
She doesn't at all. And so she's like, well, you need to bring me the thing. And I'll, like, make sure that you whatever. And you're like, no, you're a goddamn liar. Do you not, what about this do you not understand? I can't trust you.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it. You're done with her at that point. You never talk to her again.
But she's there.
Yeah.
She's there. John's gone. Trish is gone. But Sasha is still apparently a real thing. And with Kessler gone, Kessler was the first Sons.
Yeah.
The first Sons are supposedly defeated, but they were, at the end of Act 1, in possession of Sasha. But Sasha is apparently well capable of interacting with you.
Yeah. Oh, so Sasha's still alive. Who's the garbage mind control guy?
Alden.
Alden is still alive.
Yeah, because that was kind of a fun boss fight.
Yeah.
And you beat him in his giant thing, and he, like, in the brief moment before you kill him, he jumps. But you make...
He does something to give you hesitation. I forget what that is. He says something, and just for a moment, you're like, oh.
He uses that moment to jump off the bridge.
Yeah.
And you're like, that would have killed a normal person, but he's a conduit. And,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
So probably not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
he's unaccounted for. Moya is active.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Sasha is still a thing. Zeke is apparently alive because he's there with you in the last still shot.
You don't have really a relationship with it at the end. You're kind of mulling it over. And he's like, I have no idea.
Yeah, that
what
relationship
I'm gonna do
is forever
with Zeke.
Torn.
Yeah.
But it could still. But with the knowledge that this was all because of you.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of to blame for the whole thing anyway, so where do you put his betrayal?
Who,
How do you compartmentalize it?
Of course, it's interesting, you know, depending on which ending you go with. If you go with the evil ending, well, like, who gives a fuck about Zeke?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm evil, I'm a badass, well, and at I'm the end, stop this thing. See, the good ending, though, you feel kind of alone. Because you've lost everybody except Zeke. He's the only guy still alive, even though he's a dick.
Yeah.
You know, he did some douche things.
Well, and when you end it, you know, you watch the credits and you do all your stuff and you get your trophies, and then you're left to continue with playing
just running through
around. Yeah. And if it's good, then he has a little bit of a, you know, his little postscript, you know, about, like, where we're left, you know, and it's like,
he's like, I just don't know about Zeke.
Yeah, right. I just don't know about Zeke. And, like, we're still under quarantine, the plague is still active, blah, 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 whatever. When you're evil, you're like, this fucking town is mine, you know.
I destroyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I did this, it's mine.
It's mine.
Yeah. No one's more powerful than me.
But either way, you stand ready to deal with whatever the hell this thing is. And I can't believe, like...
On the good side, it's more of, like... This is my city. I'm its protector. I'm going to defend it. And either way, the end result is the same. You're going to fight and against whatever it is that's coming. So,
no, it was
mission
good.
Accomplished.
It was good.
Way.
It was good shit, man. And it was there. And I know that in some places it was a little disjointed, but I've never enjoyed something quite the way I enjoyed this game. Like, I just loved it. I liked the ending was good, and the twists and turns were just sharp enough for me to not quite. Stick to the road when I was making them, and I was like, playing like the whole first like third of the game when I played through it again, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I didn't see any of this shit. You know, I can't believe I didn't understand that, like, what the hell was going on with Sasha. Like,
but you know what? Even if something terrible would have happened and they never made a sequel to this, man, I could
still be good. Yeah,
it doesn't leave me hanging. You know, story-wise. Yeah, there's more stuff that's going to happen, obviously.
Well, and clearly the whole reason for the thing, you don't even get anywhere near. It's like this faceless render of this unbelievable nemesis that that shows up from God knows where.
That's another story to tell, but still, it is another story. Yeah. And, like, this one is so good and perfect, I could totally be happy if this is all I ever had of it.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine the rest. That's fine.
I was thinking for the evil ending, I mean, for all we know, it could have been you again from a different timeline.
Because obviously there are, and I mean, could a sequel possibly make me able to play like the Kessler I fought against in this game?
Oh, yeah.
Could my powers evolve to the point where all the stuff that I was doing in this game to feel like such a badass are essentially kind of pointless?
Please, just don't make me...
Training wheels.
Let me load up my old save.
Yeah, that would be
let
really
great.
Let
me start good or evil right off the bat. Let new people start as neutral.
Yeah.
You know? And let me evolve from the point I'm at now to, like, some bigger badass later on. Don't...
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Don't rip my powers away like so many other games do.
You know what you're capable of.
No, it's really... I mean, it was just good, and I know that there were issues with it. And, like, the good and evil choices were not gray. We're not dealing with a scale.
From the start off, you're either Luke Skywalker, like you said, Palpatine.
Or Palpatine.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I was actually okay with that because it's like, I don't really feel the need to
middle line it.
Yeah. I didn't feel like, I actually think that would have, I mean, being honest about what the game is, not some sort of fanciful notion about what
it's
morality plays should be.
It's very easy to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
It would probably be a lot of work, actually, to try and stay somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, which probably wouldn't result in very interesting stuff. And, you know, let's be honest, what they did was they made deference to the gameplay.
Yeah.
Because the gameplay, being good or being evil, and going deeper and deeper and deeper into that, was about attaining greater and greater levels of power.
It's the extremes.
Specific to those things. So identifying with the extremes was actually where a lot of the fun was. I don't think grayscale would have helped at all. The only things I really could have said better would be if they had charted the progress of his evil in something that matched the progress of his good. Because like I said, sometimes he did stuff where I was like, dude, we're being a dick this time around.
Yeah.
You need to start acting like a dick. Like once Trish is dead on day 18 or day 20 or whatever it is, quit. Don't wake up by her grave. Like, we hung up on that bitch 3 days ago and we were done with her. because we shoot red lightning now. So I didn't like that, you know? I wish there had been an alternative. And
well, even earlier,
evil, he still
wakes up by her graveside.
Lamented her.
You know what I'm saying? So like,
even early on, it's like, oh, are we still? Does this mean we're talking now? No, we're not. You know.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. I mean, maybe this is like a whole, like, maybe...
I suck the life out of people's heads.
Yeah,
yeah, there's not much to talk about.
Vader is, like, lamenting the loss of Padme here.
All right.
Maybe. But there wasn't enough... And in times like that, I felt like there just wasn't enough space or time to give it the kind of nuance people wanted. But God damn it, for what it was, I enjoyed the shit out of that game.
Yeah.
And I love that everybody... I was really worried that, like, nobody else would have finished it, because I was like, dude, I'm practically blowing up inside. Like, talk about how that shit worked. Yeah. I loved it. It was absolutely
now
worth...
Now, this is kind of amusing.
Just a couple playthroughs.
As it's Scott pacing around outside, right, come back, yawning, and... Yeah.
I could get a full effect of it, but I could rush through it quick enough to get a gist of the ending.
Did we run out of hard drive space? Holy Christ, we hit the 345 mark.
Longest podcast ever.
See Max Payne?
Yeah, he looks like Jeff Bridges.
A little bit.
Who's he?
He's got a little bit of like Bruce Willis.
Obadiah's what?
Yeah.
He's got some Bruce Willis with a little bit of paunch, but like the dirty wife beater with the shoulder belt for the gun.
Yeah,
like 20 years in the future.
You know, I can.
It's actually 10 years in the future.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. All right.
Joystick had the best one.
He doesn't have to be skinny and healthy to be pissed off and good.
No,
at what he
I don't
does.
Think he
All
would be.
Facey.
I don't think Max Payne could possibly be skinny and healthy after like.
Yeah.
Crap. He's old too. Other possible headlines include Drink Hard, Max Payne Grows Up to Be John McClane. Max Stain 3, The Filth of Max Payne, because he's dirty. Or simply, Max Payne Throws Up All Over His Shirt. Exclusive pics inside. That's what it looks like. Look like he puked himself.
That's awesome. That's probably something.
Let's not put too much good shit at the end here where nobody's going to hear it. Yeah. Let's get this...
They've already tuned out if they haven't beat Infamous.
Yeah,
so,
let's
you
get
know.
This 3-hour, 47-minute thing turned off here.
Put it in the can.
Why not? Another 15? We hit 4. That's how I play my games. It's like, oh, I got 15 minutes left.
Yeah, well, I want to go home, and we got an intro to record.
We
can
do an intro.
Oh, well, that'll get us to our... Yeah. That'll get us to our mark. Well, you know what? Yeah, I'll mention it in the intro.
Have fun. See you next week.
Yeah, night.
Enjoy the show. Now in the street there is violence, and then a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing, and then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Peek into the universally acclaimed internet audio whimsy, the FUDcast.
So I'm going to the mall to go get a game, and I'm wandering around, and I decided on getting a copy of Animal Crossing. So I take the game over to the guy, and he's trying not to laugh at me. So I ask him, hey dude, what's the problem? And he's like, nothing, you used to look a little old to be in the third grade.
Wow, apparently he knows what a lot of third graders like, I guess. What'd you tell him?
I told him I hoped his mother died like those guys in Indiana Jones.
Which guys?
When they opened the ark.
Oh my god, yeah, hopefully.
FUDcast, in-depth game analysis every other Sunday at GameRadio.us.